Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
And we change tomorrow by changing today, and we have to, because tomorrow really does matter. Stay tuned for the Peter B. Collins Show coming up next after the CBS News. We'll be back tomorrow for our last show, so listen in.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. What did today's big jump on Wall Street mean? The Dow gained 552 points. The Nasdaq was up 91. Opinions on both sides of the situation. Analysts Hugh Johnson and Eugene Peroni. Different companies, different takes.
I'm encouraged by days like today, but I don't see anything that's really something that you can sort of believe in.
Might be an indication that the worst of the economic problems and concerns, not just domestically but globally as well, might be starting to ebb.
There was some bad news, which some experts say has already been priced into an oversold market. The October deficit was $237 billion, a new record for 1 month, and new jobless claims were the highest since September 11, 2001. What about the money, though? The big banks have already been given $160-plus billion. Senators told some of those bankers that money needs to be put to work pronto.
Senate Banking Chairman Christopher Dodd said lending is still frozen.
Lenders who receive public funds should use those funds to lend. Many are failing to do that.
Republican Mel Martinez of Florida said aid has been too timid and too late.
I think we need to get aggressive and get ahead of the problem once and for all.
And Democrat Sherrod Brown of Ohio warned,
the whole purpose of the economic rescue bill was to prevent a recession from becoming something worse. Maybe not the Great Depression, but perhaps the not-so-great depression.
Representatives of four big institutions are on the hot seat. Howard Ehrenstein, CBS News, Washington.
Vice President-elect Joe Biden and his wife are being hosted by Vice President Dick Cheney and his wife, Lynn, this evening in Washington.
It seemed even cordial as the Cheneys welcomed the new tenants to the Vice President's official residence on the grounds of the U.S. Naval Observatory. During the campaign, Biden said Cheney was probably the most dangerous vice president in U.S. history. But now it was all smiles and handshakes between them. Cheney even gently placed his hand on Biden's back, though when they posed for photos, the two men were separated by their wives. Mark Knoller, CBS News, the White House.
Barack Obama is resigning from the Senate. It's a detail to be handled. It's effective on Sunday. A replacement will be named by Illinois' governor to serve what proves to be a full term until the next election. A new study by Cal State Fullerton finds polluted air can kill more people than car crashes in California. 2,500 vehicle deaths in the San Joaquin Valley and the South Coast Basin in 06. 3,800 deaths to respiratory illnesses from pollution.
You come out, your eyes are watery and red.
Well, I feel the dirt in the air all the time.
A lot of sinus problems, a lot of burning eyes and stuff like that.
The study says cleaning the air would save lives and billions in societal and health care costs. If you need a heart transplant, a man is better off getting a heart from another man. There's a difference between men and women. And when it comes to size and strength of hearts, it can make a difference. Immune systems, hormones, it all matters. A study by researchers at Johns Hopkins. This is CBS News.
When it comes to working around the house, never underestimate the value of getting it done right the first time. At your local Ace Hardware, our associates are always ready with expert tips on the smartest ways to get the results you're looking for. We'll give you simple, straightforward advice that will help you save time and money. So the next time you're thinking about starting a project, consider the value of having everything you need just minutes away at your neighborhood Ace, the helpful place.
A wine is only as good as the vineyards it comes from. Now for Cabot, America's favorite Pinot Grigio, that means grapes grown in the foothills of Italy's Dolomite Alps. Experience our distinctive Pinot Noir. Its lush, elegant style has also made it America's favorite. Our award-winning Merlot, or the rich Cabot Riesling with its fresh, vibrant character and fruit aromas. So when you're looking for truly exceptional wine, choose the Cabot Collection.
The number one Italian wine in America, Cabot. Elevating life. Imported by Pompe International, Boca Raton, Florida.
Sarah Palin at the Republican governor's meeting talked about the future, though not necessarily about her part in it.
I'm Peter King, Governor Sarah Palin.
Thank you so much.
Her fellow governors gave her standing ovations at the start and finish of her speech. Sarah Palin speaking about the campaign positives.
I am grateful to the man who took a chance on a Republican governor, representing you. Representing all of you and what we believe in.
With their own budgets to balance, Palin says Republican governors are setting examples for Washington to follow.
We can start talking about the conservative solutions to these economic challenges.
Peter King, CBS News, Miami.
This summer, Hurricane Ike sent 8 feet of water through much of the University of Texas Medical Branch in Galveston. The hospital's kitchen, blood bank, and radiology departments were ruined. UT can't afford to replace it. FEMA money can't be used. It isn't allowed. What it means is a third of the workers will be laid off soon, 3,800 healthcare workers there in Texas. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Deck the office with lots of laptops, fa-la-la-la-la, la-la-la-la.
Tis the season to be mobile, fa-la-la-la-la, la-la-la-la.
That's the sound of happy employees rejoicing over Dell Simplify the Season. Shop easy, buy easy, and pay easy on workplace essentials, including Microsoft products.
Don, we now have great computers. Fa la 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 la.
I'll tell Bob and you'll tell Carol. Fa la 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 la.
Spread the word to everyone in your office. Big savings, like the new 15-inch widescreen Vostro laptop. Starting from $599, it's both affordable and reliable. Or for flexibility, mobility, and performance, you can't beat the Dell Latitude. Starting at $699. Both laptops come loaded with Windows Vista Business for greater productivity.
Watch this energy rise before us. Fa la 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 la.
Bring joy to your working world today by visiting Dell.com/radio. That's Dell.com/radio. Prices do not include taxes and other fees. Limited time. U.S. only. Subject to change. Carolers not included.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, up and down the left coast from Big Sur all the way to the Canadian border. Wherever you are, however you listen, I'm delighted you're with us. Lots to talk about, only 3 hours to do it. Let's see, I'm working through this 63-item questionnaire to see if I could apply for a job in the Obama administration. See, I never worked for Fannie, Freddie, or AIG. Lawsuits, gifts, loans, diaries. Oh, gosh. I don't know if I could pass that kind of scrutiny. Coming up on our program today, Faz Shakir will join us in just a moment from the Center for American Progress. Later this hour, Jeff Girth, you may remember him as a longtime reporter at the New York Times. He also wrote a book about Senator Hillary Clinton earlier this year. And he's going to be with us to talk about his investigative work into the meltdown of AIG. We've now pumped $150 billion of our money into that private company. And we'll talk about what led to that meltdown and the bailout. Talk about the changing terms of Henry Paulson's bailout, too. That's coming up later this hour. Next hour, we'll talk military veterans issues with Scott Dick. There is a new report from a former prosecutor connecting the detention and torture policies of Bush and Cheney with war crimes. And we'll talk with Scott about that. We've struck another Afghan wedding party, and we'll talk about the prospect of holding over Secretary of Defense Bill Gates. And lots to talk about in the free speech zone today. Our friend Stephen Pizzo has dug up the form that you can use to report illegal or at least law-breaking activity by religious groups who supported Proposition 8 here in California. Yeah, you want to turn them into the IRS? We'll tell you where to find that form. That's all ahead here on the PBC show. You can dial in toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B now or whenever you feel like it, 888-573-8255. 8372. Faz Shakir returns to our program today. He is the research director at the Center for American Progress, and you can imagine he's been kind of busy since Election Day because his boss, John Podesta, has been tapped to co-chair the Obama transition team. Faz, you been getting any sleep lately?
I had hoped that the end of the election was going to be that period when I could go back and relax, and unfortunately it hasn't been. But, you know, as tired as I am, John's been far, far more busier. And you know, while we're helping out a little bit on the margins, he's got a huge new staff and a huge new building to operate out of for this transition, and they're working to the bone.
Yeah, I'll bet they are. Now, when did you start work on Change for America, a progressive blueprint for the 44th president?
Oh, that was a year ago. It's been a long time in the works. We first talked about the idea with Mark Green. You know Mark Green?
Sure.
About a year ago, and he, I think, had been one of the first ones who was interested in doing this, and the idea originated because Heritage, the conservative think tank, had done a project where they laid out a blueprint for the conservative transition into presidential power. And so we thought, you know, anticipating what might happen in 2008, we wanted to go about the process of laying out a progressive blueprint for a transition to power.
How nice. I think of these kinds of blueprints, though, and the most onerous type is what turned into the Patriot Act, where they had, this boilerplate language that had been written a long time ago, sitting on a shelf waiting for an opportunity. And so to imagine that progressives are doing something similar is really... That's rewarding to hear.
Yeah, and I think there's a couple benefits to it. One is I think it marshaled a lot of the most intelligent people that exist out there and got them thinking more proactively about what they'd want to accomplish with power. And fortunately, you see a lot of those individuals who wrote chapters for this book who are now advising President-elect Obama during this transition period. So I think the fact that it got them in this process of thinking proactively. The other thing is, you know, Peter, you get into office and things move real fast, and you go from day to day worrying about what's on your plate that day. And this is an effort to make sure that we plant some flags in the sand on health care, on the economy, on global warming and cap and trade, and things that we know need to be accomplished and can serve as guideposts so that when we're 6 months into the administration, a year in, we can look back at this blueprint and say, have we made progress towards the goals that we had hoped we would?
Faz, in this conversation, we will understand if you need to duck or deflect on matters that are sensitive or confidential at this time, but that won't stop me from asking questions.
Absolutely.
Okay?
You should go for it.
So I was very pleased that your boss, John Podesta, went public over the weekend, even in advance of the meeting between the president and the president-elect at the White House on Monday, reviewing executive orders that were imposed by George W. Bush with an eye toward reversing them soon after Barack Obama takes the oath of office. And I fully support that. How far back does the preparation for the executive orders go?
Well, that's also been a long time in the making, about a year now. We went through when we went through the process of Change for America, we had people go agency by agency, Department of Energy, Department of Justice, and think not only about what they had hoped to accomplish proactively, but undoing the damage that had been done in those agencies. Department of Labor is another good one. Mm-hmm. Undoing the damage that had been done in these agencies through the use of executive orders. And I think one of the guiding factors for John as he was going about this process was identifying areas where a president could act quickly, unilaterally, not wait for Congress soon after entering office to get things accomplished towards a progressive agenda. So we had identified at least 200, I think we had at one point, a list of executive orders that could be either overturned or just proactively ordered.
Mm-hmm.
To make some progress. And so, yeah, I mean, this has been a long time coming. Quite honestly, I'm not sure how many people are on the same boat as John and thinking about this the same way, but hopefully he can convince more and more people that this use of executive order power can be used for good.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm excited at the prospect that in the first days, and we won't put a number on it, I know Obama doesn't want to think in 100-day increments, but early in the administration, we'll be able to see a reversal of the work of what I call the wrecking crew, that these people, you mentioned the Labor Department, Elaine Chao is the wife of Mitch McConnell, and she went in there working for management.
Right.
And issued a series of documents and orders and memoranda, for example, helping employers avoid paying overtime to their employees. Now, that's not the purpose of the Department of Labor.
Right.
And so these are the kinds of things that can be turned around relatively quickly.
Well, Peter, even in these last few days of the Bush administration's tenure in office, they're working very, very hard to pass executive orders that are having very deleterious and negative effects on people we care about. I mean, you read in the New York Times this past weekend that they're trying to restrain outpatient Medicaid services, and this is a time when the number of people falling into Medicare is greater and greater. You see that they're allowing coal plants to emit more carbon. That's another executive order that came down. They're allowing drilling out in the West and pristine lands. Then, of course, you think proactively about stem cell decisions. You think about the California waiver. These are all executive order domain issues, and then you can go in the Department of Justice and think about all the Department of Justice memos that they've been writing on torture and you name it, where you could, you know, change the course of policy with a different mindset towards executing these memos.
And for example, on the torture memos that were written by John Yoo and his successors and the Office of Legal Counsel at Justice, can the Democrats go in there and just hit delete and basically revert to the status of law and policy before Bush took office?
Well, the problem is you've got a government that's been operating as that is the course of law, you know, and so what you have to do is unwind the bureaucracy. So it needs to go through the agency process, make sure everybody understands what the new orders would do. To just say we're going to revert back isn't sufficient because people, there's probably a lot of people in the bureaucracy don't know what it was at the reverse. So you'd have to lay out exactly what you're reverting back to and then apply as your understanding of Geneva Conventions in this instance. And I think you'd probably want to tandem that with closing Guantanamo and making sure we lay out our whole treatment of interrogations, not do it piecemeal.
Mm-hmm. So, Faz, from what you have observed so far, and without, offering us any confidential information, what will be the process of the transition team? And which posts and cabinet departments are they going to focus on first?
Well, there's the big ones that are getting all the attention, and rightly so. I think obviously Treasury is a place that the transition team is spending a great amount of time vetting candidates, thinking about who is best equipped to step in and deal with the monumental problems that we have, but also inspire some confidence from Wall Street and beyond. The nice thing about it, you saw when President-elect Obama held a meeting recently. He brought progressives to the table. I thought, you know, Jerry Bernstein from the Economic Policy Institute was there. You saw Robert Reich was there, and a whole host of other labor and leaders who you wouldn't see at a Bush table. You know, and so that I think we're already seeing a change in direction. So that's one of the first areas. And of course,
we could use a few more females in those photos.
Yes, that's very true. And then I could tell you that is at the forefront of their minds. But fortunately, we do have Governor Napolitano and Carol Browner and a few others who are advising at very high levels of the transition. So,
Laura Tyson is still
there. Laura Tyson, yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, and then Department of State, of course, is a big one. Department of Defense and Department of Justice are the areas where you're seeing the most work done right now. But just this week, they sent in parachute teams into each of these agencies across the board to start to figure out what are the priorities of those agencies right now and who's working on priorities that mesh with President-elect Obama's and what's the caseload that needs to be relieved here in order to move on to a new agenda.
Faz Shakir with us from the Center for American Progress. We're talking about the Obama transition process, and as we continue, we'll take a look at the 63-question questionnaire that candidates for an Obama appointment have to complete, and also talk about the interesting new policy to prevent the revolving door for lobbyists from infecting the Obama administration. We'll talk about that with Faz as we continue. If you got a question, bring it on now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show.
News, commentary, and your phone calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be right here on 540 AM Radio, KRXA.
quite continental.
Let me tell you about Chavez Jewelry Designs in Watsonville. Have you ever noticed how significant beautiful jewelry can be? A lovely diamond ring, special necklace, sparkling earrings, or a watch can be truly meaningful. When purchasing or repairing precious memories, having a friend in the jewelry business is critical. Chavez Jewelry Designs is your friend in the jewelry business. With Chavez Jewelry Designs, you will find the best products and repair service at the lowest prices. Stop by and check out Chavez Jewelry Designs, conveniently located at 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville's Crestview Shopping Center. Chavez Jewelry Designs is open weekdays 10 to 7. Call Chavez Jewelry Designs at 768-8004. That's 768-8004. A friend is waiting.
Central Coast Running in Santa Cruz is the number one headquarters for runners. Whether you're a novice or a serious competitor, Central Coast Running has everything you need, from shoes to sportswear. Locally owned and operated by UC Santa Cruz cross-country coach Adam Booth, Central Coast Running should be your first stop before you run. Here's Adam with a tip on running.
When you work out or run lately, have your knees and shins been hurting? How old are your shoes? A year? 2 years? The aches and pains could be your body's way of saying your shoes are toast. Running shoes usually last for around 400 miles worth of wear. If you average a few miles a few days per week, you're going to wear out those shoes in 6 to 8 months. Hi, this is Adam at Central Coast Running. Bring your old shoes in the store so we can see how they're doing. We'll let you know how much life they have left and perform a full gait analysis if it's time for a new pair. We don't want to sell you a pair of shoes if you don't need them, but we do want to help let you know if your shoes are good for you. Stop in and let us help keep you feeling good.
Central Coast Running, located in the Gateway Plaza near the corner of Highway 1 and River Street in Santa Cruz.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following The Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after The Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Peter B. We're talking with Faz Shakir. He's research director at the Center for American Progress and has a ringside seat for the Obama transition, as his boss, John Podesta, is co-chair of that effort. And, Faz, I took a look here at the 63-question questionnaire for people who'd like to serve in the Obama administration. And it's kind of grueling, and it probably discourages people right on the face of it when you got to put in information about alimony, court judgments, child support, past convictions, whether you palled around with a terrorist. Does this, in fact, cause some people to say, oh, no thanks, I'm flattered, but I don't think I'll go through with this?
Well, you would think so. I mean, I think it is a very difficult process, but if you look at the number of applicants that the transition side has received, there is no indication that people are dissuaded. I think we saw 60,000 people submit a resume the first day that change.gov launched, and that number is growing and growing by the day. So that there's a huge number of people who are interested in serving, and that's a great and wonderful thing. I think the process, that 63-page process, is the result of like years and years of quite honestly boondoggles during the confirmation process, where you've had embarrassments of all different sorts come out. And so what this is, I think, is the accumulation of all those embarrassments and trying to make sure that they don't go down that road again, trying to learn some lessons from the past.
Mm-hmm. Question 61 seems to have been prompted by the Ayers controversy. If you had any association with any person, group, or business venture that could be used even unfairly to impugn or attack your character or qualifications for government service.
Right. There's a whole section in the Zoe Baird section, right? The part where if you had any nannies who didn't who you didn't pay Social Security taxes for, or who are operating illegally.
If
you go through the questionnaire, you could almost pinpoint why you have those questions due to some previous incident.
Bill Ayers, by the way, has agreed to appear on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're working out a time. It should be late next week sometime, so we'll alert you when we get that scheduled. Now, Faz, one of the other things that I find fascinating is Obama's limits on lobbying and the revolving door. Can you give us a quick summation of what those rules are?
Yeah, so there's a few major pillars. One is that federal lobbyists won't be able to contribute financially to this transition. And then if you're looking at working for the transition, then you have to have not lobbied in the particular area that you're going into for the past 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you do go into the administration, you can't go and lobby the administration on that area for the 12 months after that. And there's also a gift ban that's in place. But I think those are the key pillars that they're trying to prohibit this revolving door. I mean, that's the context you have to put this in. We've had, we've had oil and gas people going into the administration writing the global warming reports, omitting science, then going right back out and reaping money off it. We've had the corporate bosses coming in writing labor regs, then going right back out and benefiting from them, and not to mention the whole housing sector problem, the economy issue. So it's an attempt to really curb that. I know some people said it didn't go far enough. Some people said it went too far. So I'm glad that this is the quote change we need, and it's signed, sealed, delivered.
Well, it's an extension of his campaign themes. I welcome it, and at the same time, I recognize that it causes problems for him. And let me just give you a couple of examples. David Axelrod, a brilliant campaign strategist who did a great job on the campaign. He's not a registered lobbyist, but he has been an advisor to Exelon, a big nuclear power operator in the country. And so, how do we deal with that? Because it's really restricted to registered lobbyists, right?
It is, right. And I think there's a problem figuring out what the correct language is to deal with people who have non-federal lobbying advisory relationships. And those are being worked out, from what I understand, on a case-by-case basis with the particular individuals. I know, like, for instance, Tom Daschle is involved with certain law firms and doing some advisory work, but not a registered lobbyist. So I think they couldn't find the language that covered the whole field of people, so they're trying to go about them on a case-by-case, and they have an executive director named Chris Liu who's dealing with each of these people individually.
Another example is Madeleine Albright, the former Secretary of State. She's had her own consulting firm for the last 8 years, and she doesn't disclose her clients. But if you go to her website, you read that, well, she intervened with China on behalf of a client. And so is she going to disclose her clients or her potential conflicts of interest before she goes to the lame duck economic barbecue this weekend?
You betcha. I mean, that's the 63-pager right there for you. The other point is that, John was asked, Trump was asked at the press conference this week, well, aren't these regulations going so far, and aren't they so strict that they're cutting out qualified people? And he basically acknowledged that, and he was very blunt and direct. He said, you bet, and that's the price that they pay, and we're just going to do it because we think it's right. In order to curb the revolving door, you have to be able to take on these types of acts that do have some repercussions, and if it means cutting out some qualified people, then he said, so be it. That's the way it's got to be done.
And I also say if it means bending the rules for an exceptionally qualified individual, if it follows full disclosure, I'd be comfortable with that.
Yeah, and I think that, again, those are case by case, but I think the first premise is there are certain rules here that have been established, and so we want those rules to apply, and, mm-hmm. and I think that's why the rules for some people didn't go far enough, is to make sure that we've got some standard operating rules that apply to everybody.
Faz Shakir.
You work out.
Faz, thank you for the inside story there. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Faz Shakir at the Center for American Progress.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by New York Life Insurance Company. Peace of mind can be as close as the nearest New York Life agent. That's why New York Life is the company you keep. I'm Charles Osgood. When Franklin Roosevelt said the only thing we have to fear is fear itself, he was wrong. Forgive me for contradicting such a revered individual, but fear is not the only thing we have to fear. There are things that should be feared. Fear is a protective mechanism, a survival mechanism built into our genes to keep us alert to real dangers. And there are real dangers. To his credit, Roosevelt went on to say he was referring to blind, unreasoning fear, the kind we refer to today as paranoia. Psychologist Daniel Freeman is a paranoia expert at King's College Institute of Psychiatry in London. And he says paranoia is a lot more common now. Or at least more common than was previously thought. More about that after this. The most common cause of blindness in people aged 60 and over is a chronic condition called wet age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. It begins with symptoms that include wavy lines, hazy vision, or blurriness. So if you're not seeing clearly, see an eye doctor and get checked out right away, because early detection followed by proper treatment by a retina specialist is key. This message was brought to you by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech.
Paper towels, rock salt.
Most people don't know what's in CSX freight trains, so we made a list.
Shoes, steel rivets.
CSX trains move over a million tons of freight every day.
Wheat, refrigerators, orange juice, hybrid cars, lumber.
Are we almost done?
Not even close, my friend. Jogging shorts, mustard.
Let's just say if it's in your life, it's probably on our trains. Go to CSX.com to learn more. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Paranoia has been defined as the exaggerated or unfounded fear that others are trying to hurt you. That includes thoughts that other people are trying to upset or annoy you by staring at you, laughing, or making unfriendly gestures. If you hear people talking behind a closed door, you have the strong feeling that they're talking about you, against you. Surveys of several thousand people in Britain and here in the United States find that the rates of paranoia are rising. Some say by 5%, others by as much as 50%. 11% of 1,000 adults in New York thought people were spying on them or following them. 21% of 8,500 people in Britain thought there have been times when others were acting against them. Now, they're not all necessarily paranoid. Sometimes people are followed, spied on, and acted against. How are we to know whether such thoughts are unfounded? Is it necessarily paranoid to worry about the economy the way it is right now? No. Is it paranoid to think that Al-Qaeda followers are trying to kill you? No, because that is indeed the case. Here is something else to keep in mind. Just because you are paranoid, it doesn't mean somebody isn't out to get you. The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
The
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
This half hour, you're going to talk about the insurance company that you and I now own, known as AIG. It's too big to fail. And you and I have pumped $150 billion into AIG in the last 6 weeks. Jeff Gerth has been digging into the situation here. What caused AIG to melt down? Who was monitoring its problems? And what exactly are we going to do? Where do we go from here? Jeff Gerth was an investigative reporter at the New York Times for many years, up through 2005, where he picked up two Pulitzers and a Polk Award. He worked on Al-Qaeda, Enron, Whitewater, Wen-Ho Lee story. And he is also the co-author of Her Way, The Hopes and Ambitions of Hillary Rodham Clinton, published last year. Jeff Gerth, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Good to be here.
First, can we rule you out as a suspect in Wednesday's New York Times spoof publication that was distributed nationwide?
I'm still getting laughs from it, but I had nothing to do with it.
What did you think about that? It happens on April Fool's Day. We've seen that before, but this did come right out of nowhere as a surprise to me.
I was actually talking to some of my friends and former colleagues there, and I guess some people found it funny and others didn't. I guess it depends upon where you sit.
Yeah, and you, sir, you found it amusing.
Well, there were some funny things in it, and
Was there any inside stuff, Sulzberger or Oakes jokes that I might not get?
Well, I confess I haven't read everything, so there are apparently some funny byline references, but it's kind of inside baseball, so you'd have to know some of the players.
Yeah, all right. Well, I haven't gotten a hard copy. I've just read some of the stuff on the web. So
yeah, likewise.
I'll see if I can land that, and I'll put it together with my collector's item New York Post edition that says that Dick Gephardt was going to be John Kerry's vice president. I've got that up on the wall here. Jeff Gerth, you're now writing and reporting at ProPublica, and people can find this powerful new website at ProPublica.org. And you authored this piece, and it was co-published with MSN Money. ProPublica is an interesting new organization that is sponsoring investigative reporting like you have done on AIG, and then they partner with different publications for distribution. Is that the quick thumbnail?
That's a pretty good summary.
Mm-hmm. And how long have you been at ProPublica?
Since it started the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm. And what's your sense about the progress there and how it can help reshape the mainstream media in this country, which is doing less and less investigative and enterprise reporting?
Well, I think it's, off to a pretty good start. It's an organization that whose concept is sort of new as best as I could tell, so no one's ever tried this before.
Mm-hmm.
And as you point out, it comes at a pretty critical time in the newspaper business where a lot of, the best and biggest organizations are facing financial difficulty and cutting back and letting people go. And some of the journalism that's most expensive and most time-consuming is investigative reporting, and so there's a tendency, not at some of the biggest companies like my former employer, the New York Times, but others, to cut back in these areas. And so the idea here is to sort of give a boost to that kind of reporting, and since we give away what we do for nothing, it's really like a supplement to news organizations who are interested in this kind of reporting and who want to continue doing it, but either don't have the money or the inclination or the resources to do it themselves.
Yeah, and Jeff Gerth in particular, with a guy like Sam Zell at the helm of the Tribune Company, cutting back further and further, not only at the flagship in Chicago, but also the L.A. Times and other outlets. This is something that's very important because a lot of what's happened that people criticize of the Bush years often was not properly confronted by the media. We knew the basic outline of various issues and programs, projects, or initiatives, but often when confronted with outright lies or deception, the media would, instead of, in a full-throated way saying, hey, this is a lie, the media would kind of passively report fact A and fact B and kind of let the reader make up his or her own mind.
Well, I think, the issues that the press had going back many years with the Bush administration precede the financial difficulties, which are more recent.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that there's a linkage between the two. The press, by and large, tends to be, respectful of those in power, and it's true, really, of no matter who's in control, and so I think that's something that's historically been true. I mean, in defense, I think you have to understand that the press plays a different role than people who are critics or commentators or bloggers or whatever.
Sure. Oh, yeah, I understand.
People, you need somebody who's there every day, in the various agencies, in the institutions, and you have to deal with these people, and you want to hear what they have to say. I'm a big believer in getting all sides of the story, and in some ways, an article can be more powerful if you have people saying things in their own voice, and you can see for yourself, what they're doing or what they're planning to do. And
I understand, but let's focus specifically on business reporting, because my feeling is that over the last 10 or 15 years, the business page has been much more of a cheerleader than any kind of an honest, objective reporter on either corporations or business categories. And, often we saw the dot-com bubble really caught people by surprise. This housing bubble caught a lot of people by surprise. And so I attribute that to the pressure at newspapers to please the corporate entities so they'll advertise in their papers. And, a lot of the sharper critical reporting was published, but in somewhat of a muted fashion. Do you get my point?
Yeah, I would certainly agree with the notion that a lot of the things that were happening in the financial markets and in the regulatory agencies over the last several years did not get sufficient attention from reporting. I mean, I'll give you a very good example in the current regard. We now know that in 2004 the SEC implemented this new voluntary program that in essence allowed the big investment banks to leverage up and put aside less capital, and contributed greatly to the collapse of both Bear Stearns and Lehman Brothers and the explosion of the securitization of some of the mortgages. And the coverage of that was either negligible or non-existent when it happened. I mean, I'll tell you a story from my days at the New York Times when similar things happened many, many years ago. I spent 30 years at the Times, and for virtually my entire career I did investigative reporting, but I had a half beat, for about 2 years in the early 1980s. And it included financial regulation, the SEC, and the banking and savings and loan industry. And I can remember back, it would have probably been 81, 82, in the first years of the Reagan administration, I went to a press conference, And it was by the head of the Federal Home Loan Bank Board, who had just been installed and who was holding his first press conference and basically laying out his plan to deregulate the savings and loan industry and to reduce capital requirements and accounting standards and all kind of other things like that. And meanwhile, the Congress was increasing the amount of deposit insurance that the taxpayers were on the hook for.
Sure, I remember.
So I came back from the press conference and told one of my editors, I said, boy, this is a prescription for, open the door.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody was interested. And, of course, you know, several years later, we saw the fruits of that program come to bear, and the savings and loan industry, you know, had a tremendous collapse, and taxpayers lost hundreds of billions of dollars.
We're talking with Jeff Gerth here on the Peter B. Collins Show. He's now writing and reporting at ProPublica.org. And Jeff, that's a perfect setup for the report that you've just published, because it boggles my mind that the Office of Thrift Supervision was really the only regulator, and we got to put that in air quotes here, the only regulator that had any jurisdiction over AIG's credit default swaps and the derivative markets there. Tell us how this occurred, because it really was unintentional. It's because AIG bought a bank or a thrift, and therefore this Office of Thrift Supervision had some jurisdiction over AIG's business.
Right. Well, it may not have been unintentional on AIG's part. But it happened because the way the laws are structured, that if you own the savings and loan and have a holding company, your financial holding company means that you're regulated by the Office of Thrift Supervision, which is this obscure agency that's part of the Treasury Department that actually is the predecessor agency to the agency that presided over the savings and loan collapse in the late 1980s.
That's right.
And, in fact, there was a hearing today before the Senate Banking Committee where this issue came up about AIG and OTS. And it's called regulatory arbitrage. And what it means is that banks or financial institutions will try and play regulators either off against each other or try and find the weakest or poorest regulator.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not all banks or financial institutions do this. There's some banks that are well run and want to be regulated by good regulators because they feel like it gives them a good housekeeping seal of approval. On the other hand, there are others who flock to the weakest regulator or the one they can outfox or get around.
Mm-hmm.
So, what you had in this situation was a classic mismatch. You had a small agency with little, if any, expertise in derivatives and some of these other complex instruments matched up against AIG, which had $1 trillion in assets and was the largest insurance institution in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the OTS was responsible for supervising this, giant organization. And the GAO, in a report that nobody noticed or picked up on about a year and a half ago, essentially said that OTS wasn't up to the job, but no one paid any attention to it. And it's clear from my interview with the person responsible for the AIG supervision at OTC until recently that they, missed the impact of, the very thing that brought down AIG or brought it to the brink of collapse and the need to be rescued by the federal government.
We're going to take a break and return with Jeff Gerth. You can read his detailed report at ProPublica.org. There's a lot of information in here that'll educate us about how AIG got into the position of requiring this huge federal bailout. And we'll talk about that as we continue. If you have a question or comment, join me now toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-5-4-8-8-8. 888-573-8372. More in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, this is Stephanie Miller. You're listening to the station that encourages you to think for yourself. What a concept. AM 540 KRXA.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli, with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
All right, son, fast food, drive-up window, where should I start? From the beginning, this sounds crazy. All right. All right, somebody else grew the food, somebody else prepared it and slaughtered the animal, planned the meal, put it in a bag and handed it to me. Truck's air-conditioned and the building's air-conditioned, but there's 4 or 5 feet in between the two, where I might be mildly uncomfortable for a couple of seconds. And are you going to eat something healthy? Haven't you been paying attention? No, I'm having a double bacon cheeseburger and a side order of lard, a bucket of tallow, 5 fried pies, a 22-pound bucket of French fries, sugar-coated chimichanga cinnamon stick, a 65-gallon drum of sugar Coke. I'm going to go home and have a cigarette and a bourbon and bitch at the government for not giving me health care that I refuse to pay taxes on in the first goddamn place. God, I'm telling you.
That's Johnny Steele. I'm Richard Stockton with a minute from the Planet Cruise Comedy Hour.
This is the Media Matters Minute. I'm Ben Fischel. Our top item today on Fox News is the O'Reilly Factor. Bill O'Reilly and other Fox newscasters unfairly mocked the ACLU for not coming to the defense of Joe the Plumber's privacy rights after it was discovered that a government official accessed his private government records.
Where's the ACLU in this? Aren't they the privacy
people? It's a shocker, isn't it?
They didn't show up. Where the ACLU?
I'll tell you where they are. They are out in California on behalf of the gay marriage advocate.
So they all ran out there. They couldn't have Joe the Plumber.
But in fact, the ACLU of Ohio placed a letter in the Cleveland Plain Dealer saying they were deeply disturbed that a state official had breached the private records of Joe the Plumber. And today's I'm No Economist award goes to Rush Limbaugh, who joined the many pundits blaming Barack Obama for the stock market downturn.
We have the largest market plunge after an election in history. Thank you, man child, Barack Obama.
For these stories and more, visit MediaMatters.org.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Stock market has been like a roller coaster at Palisades Park or Cedar Point or Disneyland. You pick your theme park. Down over 400 points on Wednesday, bounced up 550 points on Thursday, and who knows what'll happen next. Our guest is Jeff Gerth, now an investigative reporter at ProPublica.org. That's the new investigative journalism website. And, of course, he wrote for the New York Times for almost 30 years. And, Jeff, you mentioned this single regulator, a guy named Lee, at the Office of Thrift Supervision, was essentially in charge of this huge company and an industry that many people barely understand. And we contrast that with the promises made with the commitment of the $700 billion that Henry Paulson and Chris Cox said, yeah, you know, the voluntary regulatory scheme didn't work. So they agreed to an oversight board. But to date, the money's been dispensed, but not one person has been nominated to the oversight board that's supposed to be monitoring this bailout.
Well, that's all true.
So are we just digging deeper and deeper into this?
Well, you know, I think the real issue, as I see it, is until you understand the depth of the problem and the dimensions of the problem, it's hard to come up with a solution to the problem. And the markets are so vast.
Yeah.
And so opaque.
Mm-hmm.
That there are very few people who really understand what's going on. So I include, you know, people in the government and people in Congress, et cetera. I mean, I think one of the things that has historically been true for decades is that the ability of the so-called financial engineers, the people in the markets who come up with these products, to stay one step ahead of the regulators or the supervisors, has always been true.
And at what point did the brass, the top executives at AIG, know that they were in the deepest of doo-doo? Six months ago? A year ago?
Well, that's a very good question, and the I don't know the answer to that, but the answer may be they may never have realized it till it was too late. I mean, I think one of the things that you find is that this stuff is so complicated that there aren't a lot of people even inside the company who understand it. I mean, I think, let me put it to you this way. The company didn't disclose in any kind of significant way the fact that these credit default swaps, the hundreds of billions of dollars of swaps that they had written, had these triggers in them that would require the company to post more collateral as things went worse.
Right.
They made a disclosure in February of last year, of this year, in a special report called an 8K. And if you read it, you will find it to be incomprehensible. And I defy anybody to read it and try and explain it in a sentence or two.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it was obviously written by lawyers. And, you know, so if people at the company have a hard time explaining what's going on, imagine what people on the outside who are trying to understand this, you know, imagine the problems they face.
Yeah. Let's talk to Deborah in Carmel by the Sea, listening on KRXA. Go ahead, Deborah.
Hi there, Mr. Gerth. I've been looking for someone like you. Monterey County had a major military base closure, Fort Ord. And
so I'm familiar with that. In fact, I came down and saw Leon Panetta a couple of years ago, I think. Isn't he running a university out of there now?
CSU, yes. Monterey Bay, yeah. He helped set that up. Mm-hmm.
But left over from 80 years of Army training, we have thousands of acres of unexploded ordnance. And to make a very long, complicated story short, they've in essence privatized the cleanup of that dangerous unexploded ordnance. AIG was made the insurer of that process, and I found out fairly recently that the $100 million of our tax money that came from Army went to, or is in the process of going to, what is called a computation account that is controlled by AIG.
Did you say 100 million or 100 billion?
100 million.
100 million.
Mm-hmm.
Is this normal?
Well, I'm not sure you've told me enough to be able to get to the bottom of it, but I suspect that what you need to do is find out, first of all, the name of the company that is responsible for the cleanup. And what they probably did is work out some tax deal or something through AIG to transfer some of the risk.
Let me suggest, Deborah, that you send an email. Jeff's email is published at propublica.org.
Yeah, send me an email. I'll be happy to communicate with you and see if we can take this a little further.
Jeff.Gerth, G-E-R-T-H, at ProPublica.org. Thank you, Deborah, for bringing that up. It's a very interesting case. Jeff, just 30 seconds remaining. One of the things as a layperson that strikes me is that anybody who goes into leverage at 32 to 1 or higher is gambling, and the odds of winning the lottery are actually greater. Have we learned from that, and are we going to dial back on the amount of leverage that we consider prudent?
I mean, you hit on a very interesting point. Clearly, especially in Europe, actually, more so in the United States, the leveraging was just, you know, way too high. And the problem is that as you so-called deleverage and cut back, that if you do it too fast and too quickly, mm-hmm. you're going to have the opposite kind of problem, which is nobody's going to be able to get any loan.
Yeah. Jeff, I'm out of time, but it's been great to talk with you, and we'll do it again. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Peter.
Jeff Gerth, read his work at ProPublica.org.
Are you tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer, and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call My Computer Works now, toll free, 888-629-9618. That's 888-629-9618. 888-629-9618.
My Computer Works. Does your...
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Congress presses banks to lend the bailout money.
Banks are inclined to hoard rather than deploy capital.
The Dow jumps more than 500 points.
Every day it's something different. This is a very news-sensitive market.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Executives of four major banks were in the hot seat on Capitol Hill today as the Senate Banking Committee demanded to know what they're doing with the billions in taxpayer money they've received. CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein reports.
Committee members like Democrat Charles Schumer of New York said banks are not using the capital injection to loosen up lending.
We still face frozen credit markets for consumers and businesses.
But banking executives like John Campbell of Wells Fargo denied the money is going to pay dividends, try to acquire other banks, or boost executive compensation.
The answer is no. Wells Fargo doesn't need the government investment to pay for bonuses or compensation.
But senators indicated they will try to add restrictions on how the money is used in the future. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
The big financial firms have budgeted billions for bonuses, but say those year-end awards will be substantially less than they have been. President Bush made a speech on Wall Street today. He said government intervention in the financial crisis is not a cure-all.
While reforms in the financial sector are essential, the long-term solution to today's problems is sustained economic growth. And the surest path to that growth is free markets and free people.
Davis.
How to pump up the festive without pumping up the energy bill. Step one, go to the Home Depot. Get some energy-efficient LED Christmas lights and decorations that use up to 90% less energy. Step two, decorate, making your home ultra-festive. Step three, bask in the glow of a lower energy bill.
The Home Depot has all the decorations you need to get your home ready for the holidays at guaranteed low prices that are now even lower. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
When it comes to restaurants, some search engines get you lost in all the links, but not Yahoo Search. To prove it, we switched Bob's Google page with Yahoo and brought mariachis into his office.
What the?
Now Yahoo Search brings you even more info from sites you trust, like City Search and Sagat.
Try searching a restaurant on your city.
Whoa, those results have photos, ratings, phone numbers?
Even says live music.
Switch to Yahoo Search and get straight to your answers. Start now at yahoo.com.
Yahoo!
Another day, another market. Early on, it looked like the continuation of the three-day slide, but then the market rallied and the Dow closed with a gain of 552 points.
We have so much volatility. One day down 400, the next day up 500. It's got everybody's head sort of spinning.
Analyst Hugh Johnson says the market is very sensitive to the news of the day, and this morning's news was that new claims for unemployment benefits reached their highest level since the aftermath of 9/11. But later, oil prices rallied. That boosted oil stocks, and others went along for the ride. Oil gained $2, rising to $58.24 a barrel. But industry expert Stephen Shork says the trend is still downward.
I don't think it's unrealistic to expect oil prices within the next 3 to 6 months to dip below $50 a barrel.
The tide of red ink keeps rising. For the first month of the federal government's new fiscal year, the budget deficit was $237 billion, and the national debt rose by $450 billion. Economist Stephen Stanley at RBS Greenwich Capital says we ain't seen nothing yet.
Fiscal year 09, which began in October, there's no question by a multitude, by a factor of two or three, is going to be the biggest deficit we've ever seen.
Signs of life in the housing market. Mortgage applications rose 11% last week as mortgage rates came down. This week, the average for a 30-year fixed-rate loan is down to 6.14%. President-elect Barack Obama plans to resign from the Senate on Sunday. This clears the way for the Democratic governor of Illinois, Rod Blagojevich, to appoint a replacement. At the Republican Governor's Conference in Miami, John McCain's running mate seemed to be positioning herself as the face of the GOP going forward.
I'm Peter King, Governor Sarah Palin.
Thank you so much.
Her fellow governors gave her standing ovations at the start and finish of her speech. Sarah Palin speaking about the campaign positives.
I am grateful to the man who took a chance on a Republican governor, representing you. Representing all of you and what we believe in.
With their own budgets to balance, Palin says Republican governors are setting examples for Washington to follow.
We can start talking about the conservative solutions to these economic challenges.
Peter King, CBS News, Miami.
CIA Director Michael Hayden made a speech today on the terrorist threat. He said if there is a major strike on this country, it will bear the fingerprints of Al-Qaeda. But Hayden said Osama bin Laden is largely isolated from day-to-day operations. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
When it comes to working around the house, never underestimate the value of getting it done right the first time. At your local Ace Hardware, our associates are always ready with expert tips on the smartest ways to get the results you're looking for. We'll give you simple, straightforward advice that will help you save time and money. So the next time you're thinking about starting a project, consider the value of having everything you need just minutes away at your neighborhood Ace, the helpful place.
A wine is only as good as the vineyards it comes from. Now for Cabot, America's favorite Pinot Grigio, that means grapes grown in the foothills of Italy's Dolomite Alps. Experience our distinctive Pinot Noir. Its lush, elegant style has also made it America's favorite. Our award-winning Merlot, or the rich Cabot Riesling with its fresh, vibrant character and fruit aromas. So when you're looking for truly exceptional wine, choose the Cabot Collection.
The number one Italian wine in America, Cabot. Elevating life. Imported by Pompe International, Boca Raton, Florida.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, mild-mannered.
You believe
Except
that?
He's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. Your calls and comments are welcome as we discuss military and veterans issues with Scott Dick. I've got lines available. And we're interested in your remarks. 888-5, Peter B. is our number, 888-573-8372. Scott Dick joins us every time of this week. He served in the Marine Corps, jumped over to the Army, achieved the rank of Major, and has retired to Carmel by the Sea along the coast of California. Scott, how are you today?
I'm doing fine, Peter. How are you?
I'm okay. Every day I get a little better and better as I cope with the changing circumstances of our world. And, I'm generally optimistic, but I feel, too, that we must remain vigilant and active and press our elected leaders to deliver what they promised us.
Yes, and also help shape the information environment, because it is being twisted right now by the right wing to suit their own nefarious needs, and I'm not exaggerating much.
Give me an example that triggers that comment from you.
Well, Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity describing this as Obama's recession. And he's not even the president yet.
Uh-huh.
And so when we leave Iraq, because the Iraqis are making us leave because of the SOFA agreement, they're going to say that Obama was a coward and pulled us out when we could have won.
Well, you make a good point. They are shifting the blame. Now, it's interesting, too, because at the beginning of this administration, when Bush first took office, before we had a war and 9/11 and all that stuff, he came into a soft economy. And they wanted to blame that on Bill Clinton. And in some ways, it's fair to do that. The economy did soften before Bush took office. But once he swore on that bibble and took the oath, he owned it. And it is premature for Rush and the others to gang up on Obama and try to pin Bush's current problems on him. But it's fair to say that come January 20th, no matter who the paternity suit would identify here in terms of DNA, it's going to be Obama's problem.
Well, that's no doubt. It's going to be, well, technically, actually, it's the American people's problem. But
yeah.
Because Obama's going to get his paycheck whether or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so will George Bush. Because he gets to go take his presidential retirement and fade to the security so he so richly deserves.
Well, now let's not go so fast. Yesterday on the program, we spent half an hour with Scott Horton from Harper's. He is an attorney and a guy who has drilled deeply into the Don Siegelman case, among other issues. And he wrote essentially an indictment and an outline for a process, a Truth and Reconciliation Commission, that ultimately would investigate. He wants to narrow it, and he picks as the most egregious crime the area of torture. But he believes that long-term, unless we have a massive wave of pardons emanating from the Bush administration on their way out the door, Scott Horton believes there is the basis for post-administration investigations that possibly could lead to denying Bush his retirement benefits. It's a long shot, but it could happen.
Well, that's only if we learn from our mistakes from 1993 and the fact that the Clinton administration just sort of gave up on the, and in fact marginalized the investigators of the Reagan-Bush 1 regime.
Mm-hmm.
And it not only marginalized, but the investigators were Republicans in some cases.
Yeah.
And so it whitewashed, it gave the right, the hate right, more armor to use against Bill Clinton later on. And then you could go back and point the finger at those two, but it was way too late.
Yeah. Well, and Robert Perry, who's with us every week on our program, he's from ConsortiumNews.com, and he's written very powerfully about this issue. He was one of the investigative journalists who covered Iran-Contra, and he was flummoxed and remains bitter that Bill Clinton traded away the investigation into Iran-Contra for a peace dividend, a personal peace dividend that was never delivered, because Clinton thought that by being nice to the Republicans, they might be nice to him.
And we saw how far. It's like when you grab the tail of a rattlesnake and say, okay, I have your tail, just don't bite me. There's no, I don't know why I just used that as a metaphor,
mm-hmm.
but it seems like the Democrats want to have this bipartisan relationship with the Republicans, and they get beat over the head with it, Democrats being, by the Republicans, for being so stupid or soft or whatever it is, but it's not a place that we need to go in 2008.
It's an abusive relationship.
It's a codependency kind of thing.
Yeah, you can't negotiate with somebody who won't negotiate with you when there's no goodwill, when there's no flexibility or compromise shown. Yet we've seen time and time again the Democrats have negotiated with themselves in order to cave into the demands of the Bush administration.
It's totally apparent in what's going on with Joe Lieberman. Everybody wants to rehabilitate him and keep him. My question is, why? And the second part is this nonsensical speech about keeping Gates as the Secretary of Defense.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a transition. The transition teams are already in place. The head of the Department of Defense is not going to fall apart. I guarantee you that bureaucracy will live long after we're long dead. And so having Gates under the guise of bipartisanship, I think, is just a self-inflicted wound. We tried bipartisan with Republicans during Clinton. It got us no place. They were totally partisan in the 8 years of the Bush administration. And so if we're going to be painted with owning everything from the day that Barack Obama takes the oath of office, then by golly, we got to have competent, honest-to-goodness Democrats with real spines in all of those cabinet positions. And let the Republicans just be on the real outside.
Now, we're going to talk about a bunch of issues this hour, but I want to open up the phone lines here and encourage people to call and offer your opinion on these two issues, on Joe Lieberman, his future as a, well, he's an independent now, but as a guy who's supposed to caucus with the Democrats, and Bob Gates. Do you want to see the kind of bipartisanship that's being proposed here? Now, Obama has not said anything about holding Gates over, but it is a buzz. There's no question about it. And Obama's done nothing to discourage that speculation. So based on that, I consider it possible that Obama may hold Gates over. And there are some possible blame game reasons for that. To, you know, make sure that people recall that Iraq is a Republican war, and by keeping a Republican defense secretary on past the inauguration of Barack Obama, there is some potential political blame shifting that could occur there. But, Scott, fundamentally, I agree with you. I think it is crazy to, number one, try to appease Joe Lieberman, who really, you know, offered no compromise as he went out and campaigned not only with John McCain but also with Sarah Palin, was present and offered no protest or even rebuke when she made some of her most scurrilous remarks about Obama, questioning his patriotism. And, you know, Lieberman joined in, chimed in on many of those same themes. So I have no sympathy and no real desire to forgive Joe Lieberman. And first and foremost, I saw Evan Bayh on the Rachel Maddow show on television on Wednesday night. And he is kind of in a squeezed position there because he's responding to Obama's call to go easy on Lieberman. And at the same time, he said, well, after Lieberman apologizes, we can forgive him. So far, I've not heard one suggestion or even hint of apology from Senator Lieberman.
Right. And I don't know what he brings. They're talking about that 59th vote, maybe 60th vote. I don't care. It's, you know, Lieberman's going to vote with the Republicans when he feels like it. The Democrats, the blue dogs that are in the Senate are going to vote with the Republicans. We may not always get the 60 that we want, and so we might as well just put all the cards on the table and be up front. Lieberman is a Republican and a friend of the Republicans, and that's where he should be. And as far as the bipartisanship, that gets us no place except we have a Democrat who could otherwise serve as the Secretary of Defense and be a tough guy and start to develop a reputation that we're not soft on crime, we're not soft on terrorism, we're not soft on defense. And by Clinton having Cohen in there after Les Aspin, that's precisely the message that he sent. There's not a single Democrat anywhere on the planet that could hold that job, so we have to get a Republican, which is a bunch of crap.
Yeah. Well, I'm with you there. And see if this makes you choke. Senator Harry Reid, the leader of the Democrats in the Senate, a quote about Joe Lieberman: I didn't like what he did, but he's one of the most progressive people from Connecticut. Now, that's an insult to every progressive, including Chris Dodd from Connecticut. He's not progressive. He votes with the Republicans on the most regressive legislation, supported the Military Commissions Act, big cheerleader for the authorization to use force in Iraq. The Kyle Lieberman Amendment, I believe he supported that one, too, because his name's all over it.
Yeah, it's like who's buried in Grant's tomb. Who's the author of the Kyle Lieberman? And you said leader of the Senate? Reid has the title.
Yeah,
but I've seen nothing that passes for leadership, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm.
What leadership is, that means sticking your neck out when you're right and standing up to people who are bullies and really putting your foot down in your own organization to enforce a little discipline and get them to clean up their act. I've seen none of that from I almost said Joe Lieberman, from Harry Reid.
Yeah. Let's talk to Richard in Eureka. Join us, Richard. It's Peter B. and Scott Dick.
Hi, Scott. Hi, Peter. How are you doing today?
Pretty good, thanks.
Good, good. Listen, as far as Lieberman is concerned, you know, I feel like the guy's a traitor. So he votes with the Democrats 90% of the time, or at least that's what I heard.
Now, I don't think it's that high. They've said that, but I don't agree with that. I would peg it in the 70s somewhere.
Really, and what do you, what are the things he breaks with the Dems on? I mean, things like taking away our civil liberties, you know, other wonderful things like that, you know?
Yeah.
The new GI Bill, the war in Iraq, yeah, just little things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, and I really think he should be kicked out of the caucus, stripped of his chairmanship. And, you know, kick him to the curb. You know, if he wants to go caucus with the Republicans, let him, you know, what do they say? You know, you want to lie with dogs, you get fleas.
Well, let's put him in charge as chairman of the Zell Miller Quisling subcommittee there in the Senate.
Yeah, Zell Miller, another wonderful character.
The small business committee, the small business committee is looking for a chairman, and that'd be a perfect place for Joe Lieberman.
All right, well, thank goodness Zell's out of there already. But anyway, and as far as Gates is concerned, he's another guy that needs to be kicked to the curb. The only Republican I see that would be possibly fit, and you know, maybe other people have a greater insight than I do, but I think maybe Colin Powell, I heard somebody mention along the way, Secretary of Education. All right, this is something that he's got great passion for, from what I understand. And I think you'd be really great in that job, all right? Nonpartisan, right up the line, down the line, do the right thing. As far as Secretary of Defense, I don't know. I mean, I could think I'd like to see maybe Richard Clark get back in there in the terrorism department.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Wesley Clark might be a good... Secretary of Defense, I don't know. What do you guys
be a contender.
Think?
Richard, we'll tell you more as we continue. We have to take a break right now, but I thank you for your call. And I welcome more calls. Tell us what you think about Gates staying on. That's Robert Gates. We always want to call him Bill. But Robert Gates staying on as Defense Secretary. And what do we do with Joey Lieberman? Your comments are welcome here at 888-5-PETER-B as we continue this hour with Scott Dick on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the moment last.
Hello, I'm Barbara Mossberg. You know you move too fast. And I'm inviting you to join me Sundays to slow down for our poetry hour. Here's the lowdown on our poetry hoedown. Meet me at high noon, and we'll make the morning last right here on KRXA 540.
What you know when I've come to work.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
J. Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor their authentic Chinese dishes and tasty soups like congee and wonton noodle. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Right now in King City, watch out for defective traffic signals at San Antonio Drive at Route 15. Taking a look at northbound 101, just north of Cochran Road, we've got a traffic hazard there. There is a large pail in lane number 1. Moving on up to Santa Cruz, on Highway 1 at mile marker 24, we've got a man laying on the right shoulder of the road, so watch out there. Now for some weather. Your forecast for tonight is mostly clear. Lows are around 50 degrees. Friday will be mostly sunny. Highs are in the upper 70s to mid 80s. Right now, Monterey is 61 degrees, Salinas is 69, and Santa Cruz is 69. That's traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a fantastic afternoon, and stay with KRXA and the Peter B. Collins Show.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Axing the question, Joe Lieberman.
You've got to let me know.
Should he stay or should he go as a Democrat?
Should I stay or should I go?
Robert Gates, Secretary of Defense.
If you say that you are mine.
Should he stay or should he go?
Till the end of time. So you've got to let me know. Should I stay or should I go?
We're talking with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans issues. Your calls are welcome here, and the questions are pretty straightforward. Should Barack Obama retain Bob Gates, a Republican, and a Bush loyalist? He came out of the CIA when Poppy Bush worked there. Should he be retained as defense secretary in the new administration, even short term? And what to do about Joe Lieberman? Should he stay caucusing with the Democrats, or should they punish him for the way he spoke at the Republican convention, campaigned on the trail with McCain and Sarah Palin, and said a lot of things that really are hurtful and damaging to the Democratic cause? We want to know your thoughts, and lines are open at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And, you know, it's interesting, Scott, because I do understand Barack Obama's mindset, but I think he's wrong. And I think, as you outlined, talking about the way Bill Clinton operated in his transition, that we have to look at that and say, unless we get clear signals from Republican leaders that they're going to change their posture, their attitude, and call off the attack dogs, then I don't think it's wise for the Democrats to unilaterally disarm.
No, we have not seen any, we have not received any indication whatsoever, Peter, that the Republicans have learned a damn thing. They are just as bellicose now as they were during the campaign when they thought that McCain had a chance early on, where they thought they were going to be against Hillary Clinton. I've seen no softening of the rhetoric, the partisanship, the obstructionism coming out of their camp. There are a few Republicans, responsible Republicans, that are looking at, you know, how they're going to regroup and reform, but they are not really getting they're not in charge of the party. The likes of Bill Kristol and Newt Gingrich seem to be rising to the top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, again, until there is some clear signal that things have changed in Washington, I don't think Obama can assume that his goodwill and kind gestures will be reciprocated.
No, that's just a waste of hope and change.
Mm-hmm.
What we need is a change from the policies of the past. We need to learn from what Bill Clinton failed to learn from. And there are plenty of great, smart, intelligent, it's kind of redundant, but Democrats out there who have the toughness, the will, the experience to run the Department of Defense, the Treasury, et cetera. We don't need to hire Republicans.
Yeah.
We just don't.
Well, and I mentioned earlier that Scott Horton has published a very powerful article in the December issue of Harper's Magazine about accountability for Bush, Cheney, and some of the others. And in particular, the torture issue is front and center because he feels that's a very egregious violation and one that is covered by international law. And now the Center for Constitutional Rights and Human Rights Center have released a report that was written by a former appeals court judge on the federal bench in Washington, Patricia Wald. And she compared the treatment of detainees in American custody to the treatment that Bosnian Muslims received at the hands of their Serbian captors, which have led to war crimes trials in The Hague. And the model is there. It remains to be seen if there is the political will, and Barack Obama is going to set that tone, to really investigate and fully prosecute potential war crimes, which I think are very clear.
Well, it's obvious to anybody who has read the Geneva Convention that war crimes, violations of war crimes are that sort of hyperbole that may not be necessary. I think we could just start off by talking about the Geneva Convention, the federal, the felony crime of violating the Geneva Convention. And we don't even have to prove torture. We can show mistreatment of prisoners and go from there. War crimes, when we start talking about invading sovereign nations that have done us no harm, that's an entirely different deal.
Yeah, we're going to take a break and return with Scott Dick. More of your phone calls coming up. Dial in now, toll free, 888-5-PETER-B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Bailout, take two. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. I've been trying to understand the bailout. I really have. But my head is spinning, and I think I know why. This isn't a bailout. It's an exorcism. So now, instead of buying up bad loans, the Treasury Secretary will invest in banks and encourage them to make good loans.
With a stronger capital base, our banks will be more confident and better positioned to play their necessary role to support economic activity.
So the solution to the problems caused by easy credit turns out to be easy credit. We will use tax money to buy bank shares in hopes that the banks will lend us our own money. Why not just stop taxing us and let us keep it to begin with? Oh, I understand. This time the easy credit is supposed to go to the good credit risks, the people who can afford to pay it back. But has it occurred to anybody that the people who can afford to pay it back are the people who actually save their money and who, as they see their retirement funds disappearing, are saying, borrow money now? Are you kidding? Plus, if jobs keep disappearing the way they've been disappearing, who's to say that today's good credit risk won't be tomorrow's deadbeat? Oh, but all of this takes a backseat to the general feeling sweeping the land that there is a whole lot of ad-libbing going on in Washington. The offices that Congress set up to oversee where the money's going are still empty, and no matter how long the press conferences go, there is no one who can tell you what's actually going on. Once upon a time, it was trust but verify. Today, it's trust and cross your fingers. Now this.
You've got spam in your email now.
Ho, ho, whoa.
The holiday season is coming soon, and with it, the onslaught of email-based spam, viruses, spoofing, phishing, and spyware attacks. Keep your business safe this holiday season by installing a Barracuda Spam Firewall, the world's number one selling anti-spam solution. With no software to install and no per-user fees, it's the simplest, most cost-effective way to stop dreaded holiday spam. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM now for your free trial, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go to Barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark Lecluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale, and I'm currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark Lecluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
Hi, I'm
Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we'd like to personally invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Try one of our signature pizzas or calzones, such as Jamaican Me Crazy or Wild Mushroom Dreams.
We also offer sandwiches, salads, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh-brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lappert's ice cream.
Located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina. We have been recognized by Monterey County food critics Mike Hill and Melissa Snyder as locals' favorite, best for families, and much more.
Call 582-9149 or visit our website at apizzaparadise.net.
It's A Pizza Paradise, where your pizzas are bigger, better, and bolder.
That's 582-9149.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Talking military, veterans issues with Scott Dick. You're welcome to chime in. What should we do with Robert Gates? Should he stay on as defense secretary in the Obama administration? And what do we do about Joey Lieberman, the defector? Or is he just defective? You can call us toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Now, let's focus in on Robert Gates a little bit more here, Scott. I'm looking at an article from the New York Times on Thursday, and Robert Gates has been lobbying various members of NATO to permit other states, including Georgia and Ukraine, to enter that treaty alliance. And a lot of this revolves around the provocation that has been delivered by Cheney and Bush. Cheney personally has made these kinds of comments demonizing Russia even before the August battles between Georgia and Russia over South Ossetia. And that remains, in my view, a set of issues that we don't have the full story on. And I believe that Georgia was the aggressor there. And while I don't support the massive response that Russia imposed on Georgia, I do think that in the narrow terms that Georgia started it. So now this becomes a battle over the Bush administration's threat to put Star Wars missile defense systems into the Czech Republic and into Poland. And these directly threaten the Russians, while we claim that it is to defend Europe from Iranian missiles. Now, Iran in the last few days announced that they have tested some missiles with a 1,200-mile range, but that doesn't get you to Central Europe from anywhere in Iran. So as you look at this and this struggle over the missile defense, the decision by Bush to try to put it into Poland and the Czech Republic, you and I have talked about this before. The system doesn't work. It's a boondoggle. We've wasted tons of money on it. But it has succeeded in provoking or at least creating a sense of threat to Russia.
Well, I think that's the intended purpose. There's an article I'm looking at that says that Gates bristles. How did he put this? However, Gates stressed the U.S. planned missile defense system is no threat to Russia, and he said that Washington would prefer to seek a blah, 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 blah. He'd rather do that than engage in the kind of rhetoric associated with the bygone era. Georgia, in my opinion, Peter, Georgia did start that whole thing by attacking the allies of the Russians, which is never a smart move. I think they expected something from us that we weren't prepared. We may have been telling them we were delivered, but we didn't.
Well, and they did it at a time after Russia had just completed war games in South Ossetia, and they had a larger than previous deployment there. I mean, it was just stupid.
I know the troops were only something like 60 kilometers or 90 kilometers away. They weren't in Ossetia proper. But they were, these were pros, too. These weren't conscripts. So it was really, really dumb. And I'm looking at, let's pick this apart. I'm looking at a Google Earth map with straight line ruler drawn from the farthest western corner tip of Iran to out over 1,200 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And I only get to three-quarters of Romania. Now, if they want to hit Moldova for some reason, they could hit Moldova. If they want to hit the Ukraine, they can hit the Ukraine. Or perhaps the Iranians want to take on Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea that they're going to put radar systems in the Czech Republic and in Poland to counter the Iranian threat is so obviously transparent that it makes me wonder if they really think the Iranians, the Russians, and you and me are so stupid as to believe that.
Yes.
And the reports are that the Iranian missiles are actually, it's an old missile, and they're saying what they're saying for their domestic purposes, really.
Sure.
So that's an entirely separate issue, but the idea that those missile defense system is there to counter Iranian threats is just ludicrous.
Yeah, it really is, and you'd think that they'd come up with a better story for that.
Yeah, but there is no better story for this missile defense.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, you have to find a threat to justify abrogating the anti-ballistic missile treaty that first thing Bush did, and then try to tell the Russians, oh, but, that's not really pointed at you. You're the only one with anti-ballistic missiles, but that doesn't have anything to do with you. We're going to establish this missile shield. It hasn't worked since Reagan started. That's why they called it Star Wars, because of the fantasy of it.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea that we're going to spend, another $500 billion trying to perfect this thing is really it's nonsense. It's just in the budget the way it is and the international climate the way it is. I mean, could we do something dumber besides striking, let's say, another wedding party in Afghanistan, killing them all?
Yeah, that is pretty dumb. Now, you sent me a link to an article that I'm looking at right now from Wired Magazine. And they quote a General Obering, who is a supporter of the deployment of missile defense in Europe. And this Wired article says, over the weekend, President-elect Obama refused to commit to putting interceptors into Europe, which the Bush administration has been planning for years. And General Obering warned against moving away from the proposed deployment of missile defense assets, according to Inside Defense. Such a move, the general said, would severely hurt, number one, our ability to protect our deployed forces in that region and our allies and friends in that region from what we see as an emerging threat. Now,
but Peter, that's not the quote. Here's the quote.
Yeah.
And this is where his wagging his finger at Barack Obama could be a career-ending move, as it should be. Senator or President-elect Barack Obama should tolerate zero from generals engaged in this kind of activity. And the quote that offends me is, quote, they are kind of calibrated back in the 2000 time frame, and we have come a hell of a long way since 2000. Our primary objective is going to be just, frankly, educating them on what we have accomplished, what we've been able to do, and why we have confidence in what we are doing, unquote. Peter, one more. Those that have not been intimately involved in this over these past years typically don't have that accurate information, unquote. Now, what does that sound like to you, Peter?
That they have had secret tests of missile intercepts that worked magnificently.
No.
Because the tests that we know about are all abject failures.
No, Peter, come on. I shouldn't expect you to be able to understand this language. This is, as soon as the president is sworn in, I'm going to lose my job. So you government contractors involved in Star Wars missile defense, I need that job on the board or as a lobbyist or working in the department. So, here it is. That was a giant balloon that says, hey, I'm available.
Well, you're right, Scott. I would not have deduced that. But you have the right background and sensibilities to figure that out.
He's lobbying for a job in the private sector. He's a 3-star. I thought it was a 1-star. He's a 3-star. And he's engaged in the same activity as those unpatriotic, un-American, retired military officers that went over and shielded for Donald Rumsfeld and then pretended that they were independent media analysts.
Mm-hmm. So, Scott, how do we get out of the fiction of Star Wars, and how does Barack Obama deal with the confrontation that Medvedev, and you and I practiced his name last week, laid down the day after our election, when he basically said that the Russians are going to deploy short-range missiles in Kaliningrad, which is on the border with Poland, and that essentially they are going to match us with a new Cold War over our missile defense system that doesn't work and is a charade.
Well, he does it in one simple way. He takes all of the quotes from the Bush administration that terrorism is the new threat, national security threat. It is the threat above all threat. Terrorism with dirty weapons, dirty WMD, dirty, et cetera, et cetera. Those are the threats to American security and survivability. We can never be attacked on the homeland again, blah, blah. And then he says, there's no that way that we can have both. We can't have Star Wars and a renewed effort to eliminate terrorism worldwide, especially nuclear proliferation. So in the spirit of us addressing terrorism in all of its forms, Russia and I have agreed to eliminate the idea of putting in Star Wars, and we're going to work together to eliminate this terrorist threat. Boom, it's done.
Mm-hmm.
Then we become partners. We go back to what we were doing, and we focus on where we should be focused, and we start. That way he can back away from Star Wars permanently, because as far as I know, Osama bin Laden does not yet have a intercontinental multiple-head reentry vehicle ballistic missile.
You mean a MIRV ICBM? I even know those acronyms.
Yes, a MIRV 4, a MIRV 5, a MIRV 6 ICBM. So Star Wars is a joke. It is a way to keep government or corporations in business that have no business, sort of like GM, being in business. And I think that's the way the president can back away from that, is by saying, I need a giant partner who straddles Europe and Asia in the fight against terrorism, and now is not the time to pick a fight with the Russians.
Scott, I like the way you answer that, and so I'm going to email you the 63-page application to get an appointment from Barack Obama, and just put everything in there about your past, you know, any lawsuits you've had, you know, any little convictions, diary entries, palling around with terrorists, and we'll send it in, and I'll back you up, okay?
Okay, I got interviewed by Bosnian Serb radio once. Does that count as pounding around with terrorists?
I don't know. Now, let me test you with another challenge here. We don't even know if Kim Jong-il is still alive, all right? But North Korea continues to frustrate the world by changing its tune and changing the terms of agreements that it has made. So it's now announced that it will bar international inspectors from taking soil and nuclear waste samples. They can still go to Yongbyon, which is the site of the partly destroyed nuclear facility, but the North Koreans are getting touchier about international inspection. And this, of course, was one of the terms of the agreement that the Bush administration was so proud of. It's real only real accomplishment in diplomacy during these 8 years.
Well, don't forget the giant North African threat of Muammar Gaddafi. They did talk him down out of the tallest tree.
Well, he caved. I don't think they...
Of course the Bush administration didn't have anything to do with that. That's being funny.
Yeah, they didn't reach out to him. He simply gave up and paid off the Pan Am settlement and said, would you leave me alone now, and I'll give you my AQCon blueprints.
Exactly. So the Koreans are, you know, I'm not an Asian thinker. I haven't studied Asia. My mistake, whatever you want to call it, is Europe. I think you really need to employ Asian thinkers to people who are well-versed or experts, because they seem to me to be pretty petulant. Every time the media turns away from North Korea, they do something intentionally to turn the media back to North Korea. I think they hate to be out of the spotlight. I really think they have visions of grandeur. They're a giant military power in Asia with nothing to do. And it seems to me that the election and all the press coverage worldwide of President-elect Barack Obama has really made them upset.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only kind of reasoning I can apply to the North Koreans. Because as far as I know, there could be some intermediate jerk in the State Department who said or done something, some crony hired not for his skill because of his connections to be a part of that, and he could have done done something to piss them off, it wouldn't be difficult.
Well, and also, just in their defense, the North Koreans are so weird and Kim Jong-il is so bizarre that, you know, I don't want to just gratuitously blame American envoys or negotiators for this change in tune from North Korea. We may actually be responsible, but there's enough to assume in terms of the instability of the North Koreans to figure that it's not necessarily the U.S. fault this time.
If I was a Secretary of State, I would have a long time ago sent him a container of designer sunglasses and would have converted his VHS collection into DVD and paid for it myself. I would have done that a long time. If you want to go forward, you know, you have to. The Romans were experts at getting the barbarians within 30 miles of the frontier addicted to Roman luxury.
Right.
And that's what we need to do with Kim Jong-il.
And also, you know, some industrial strength hair mousse might.
He already has that. Perhaps hair implants or, I don't know, get him his own reality show.
Extenders. All right, we'll take a break and return with Scott Dick. You can join us with a comment, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. The Peter B. Collins Show. Oh, yeah. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia with your KRXA 540 AM traffic report. Right now, we've got a couple of incidents in Santa Cruz. First, on Soquel Drive at Porter Street, we have a three-vehicle collision. CHP is on the way. Next, we have a traffic hazard on Willowbrook Lane at Chateau Court. That's all the information we have at this time. Right now in weather, Monterey is 61 and clear, Salinas is 66, and Santa Cruz is 67 degrees. Sunset is at 4:59 tonight. That's traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a beautiful evening, everybody, and keep it tuned to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Central Coast Running in Santa Cruz is the number one headquarters for runners. Whether you're a novice or a serious competitor, Central Coast Running has everything you need, from shoes to sportswear. Locally owned and operated by UC Santa Cruz cross-country coach Adam Booth, Central Coast Running should be your first stop before you run. Here's Adam with a tip on running.
With summer pretty much over, the days are getting shorter, but that doesn't mean your runs have to. This is Adam at Central Coast Running in Santa Cruz. Stop in the store and check out our fall and winter gear. We've got bright, reflective nightlife accessories and plenty of warm, soft winter apparel. Stick to your usual running and walking routine. Don't let the changing seasons slow you down. We'll have a nighttime run series with free gear for runners and walkers, and we've got plenty of advice on how to be safe and warm. Get on our newsletter list and drop in for more info. As always, we offer a free gait analysis to find the best shoe for you. Stop by Central Coast Running and let us keep you going this fall.
Central Coast Running, located in the Gateway Plaza near the corner of Highway 1 and River Street in Santa Cruz.
Peninsula Gem and Jewelry in Monterey is like no other store on the peninsula. 30 years family owned and operated, Peninsula Gem specializes in finished jewelry, jewelry repair, and custom design. Supplying tools and materials for the jeweler and lapidarist from precious metals to cutting materials. Check out the spectacular Monterey Jade and other collectible minerals. Great gift ideas too. Peninsula Gem and Jewelry is at 2245 North Fremont Street, right next to Big Five in Monterey. Open Tuesday through Saturday. Peninsula Gem and Jewelry. Sun Street Centers has an outpatient recovery program designed for men and women with alcohol or drug issues, referred by the court system, employer-referred, or self-referred. Sun Street also takes insurance. At Sun Street, you're provided with one-on-one and group sessions that focus on relapse prevention, parenting skills, anger management, and family issues, and introduces the 12-step program. You can choose either 2 or 3 days a week or evenings with sites in Salinas and Marina. Just go to sunstreetcenters.org to sign up. sunstreetcenters.org.
Thank you.
we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and our conversation with Scott Dick rolls on, too. Scott's our contributor on military and veterans issues, and he's the host of the Scott Dick Show, which follows me every night on KRXA 540, our flagship station in Monterey, California. And, Scott, we made a passing reference earlier to the Status of Forces Agreement with Iraq, the SOFA. And it does appear that, at least from the Iraqi point of view, that those negotiations may be dead. And Bush is hoping for some sort of a resolution before he leaves office, because the occupation expires at the end of this year if there's no direct agreement with Iraq.
Peter, I think they're done.
Yeah?
I think they're done. I think they've already made their agreement. I think they probably had a secret signing. And Parliament, you know, the Iraqi Parliament, they're not screaming about the terms anymore. They wanted some control over contractors, which they received. I think the final analysis on the jurisdiction over soldiers was where you're on duty and off duty. They never go off duty anyway. You know, they don't go into town and go to clubs and stuff. So that may have been reached, and if it's signed, then it's done, and we'll find out about it, January.
So you think there is a deal? They're just not announcing it?
Yeah. And they don't really. I mean, they're basically screwed. It would be malfeasance or misfeasance. I always get those confused. If they leave, well, if they go into next month and not have an agreement, because they can't go to the UN, perhaps they've figured out a way to try to finagle or lie or parse out the meaning of the resolution and just leave it as a big steaming pile for the new president.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably more in the nature of what Bush is going to hand over to President Barack Obama, is a whole collection, a whole suitcase, a shipping container, maybe a supercargo container.
It's getting bigger.
full of those steaming piles. Well, it started out small. And I thought, no, because we could carry a briefcase. No,
railroad cars.
Yeah, we're talking to like trains that reach from California to, you know, New York City. It's ridiculous, and this would be just one more. In the meantime, the right wing nuts in the media are taking Senator Obama to task for, you know, stuff he's not even responsible for.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see. I'm not sure I share your theory here, because if Bush had an agreement, I think they would leak it and let people know, because the other specter is that we wouldn't be evicted, but our troops would be locked down. They'd have to basically return to base and could only patrol with direct Iraqi approval and probably Iraqi minders.
Well, see, the efficiency, well, that's true, and so the efficiency to have an agreement and not announce it is to continue to try to work. Well, I have not been very good at trying to reproduce the thought patterns from Mr. Bush or Mr. Cheney. And maybe they just want to continue to make it, you know, try to skate out with leaving this as a mess. Bush is that, what's the right word? Not condescending, conceited.
Mm-hmm.
He has his own grandiose idea of himself. And it would be just, I think, totally in accordance with this administration to either have an agreement and already have it signed and to announce it the week before the end of the year, mm-hmm. or to not have an agreement and leave the new president with lockdown troops in Iraq.
So do you think Bush will sneak over to Baghdad to serve plastic turkey on Thanksgiving?
No.
I don't either.
No, I don't think he will. Although, I wouldn't be surprised if he... No, he's all done with the troops. The photo ops aren't going to get him anything left. There's no... Their troops are no use to him anymore.
Ben and Salinas, join us here. Peter B. and Scott Dick.
Yeah, you guys have led me right into my question, and you're the perfect two guys to run this question by. When we do get our walking papers and get our asses out of Iraq, What is to become of the 58 bases we've built? And where in the hell did they get all that money to build 58 bases and 108 square mile green zone, which I call the new Israel? What is going to become of those properties? Can you gentlemen tell me?
I don't have a clear idea, Scott.
Well, they were always built in Iraqi soil, and everything will be left just the way it is. I mean,
so in other words, we're going to leave and leave them a completely built facility, state of the art, as a gift to the American people, cost of $100 billion.
I don't believe we're planning to leave the embassy for them. I don't think so either.
But so that's why I'm asking you, what will become the status of the green zone?
Well, the whole green zone only the embassy only occupies part of the green zone. The Iraqis have their own offices in the green zone because it's the only safe place they could operate.
Wasn't that formerly Saddam Hussein's main palace?
There's several. There's three palaces in the green zone. If you have access to the web or Google Earth, you can go to it and look at those palaces and how they're situated in the green zone.
Wouldn't it be interesting to find out what's underneath, what's underground of those areas right now,
yeah,
knowing the state of the art stuff? But
weapons of mass destruction.
well, there's something going on.
You buried them, yeah.
And Obama, first Gates and Lieberman, those people got to go. They're part of what brought us to the economic danger we're in. Gates, he's been Bush's and Cheney's yes man. Yeah, Obama, you really want this guy around guarding your back? Holy cow, dude, get real.
All right, thank you, Ben. Appreciate your call today. Scott, thank you for joining me. It's always a pleasure to chat and chew over these issues with you.
You're welcome, Peter, anytime.
All right, that's Scott Dick, heading off into the sunset. We're going to take a break and return to the Free Speech Zone next hour. I'm going to give you directions on how you can file a complaint with the Internal Revenue Service about religious groups that cross the line into political action regarding Proposition 8. We'll also get a report on Supreme Court decision yesterday about sonar and whales, the Navy One.
Bonjour, this is Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/...
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. They've taken billions in bailout bucks. Today, executives of major banks were on Capitol Hill to hear complaints that they're not spreading the wealth. CBS News correspondent Cheryl Ackerson reports.
It is still confounding to me why the Secretary of the Treasury and others refuse to understand this is the heart of the problem.
With foreclosures still on the rise, Senator Chris Dodd said the bailout has done little to stop the bleeding. Today, he led questioning of executives from four top banks that have received a combined $75 billion in taxpayer funds, Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, J.P. Morgan Chase, and Wells Fargo. All that money is supposed to jumpstart consumer loans, but there's been no measurable impact so far.
The bankers insist they are lending, and they're not using the money to pay salaries and bonuses. President Bush, in a speech on Wall Street today, said the financial system has to be reformed, but warned that government intervention is not a cure-all.
Our aim should not be more government. It should be smarter government.
He said sustained economic growth can only come from a free market. He'll host a 20-nation economic summit this weekend. Today's wild swing on Wall Street was on the upside. The Dow closed 552 points higher at 8835. During the session, it fell below 8,000, and Peter Cardillo of Avalon Partners says that's significant.
Today's action confirms that the market has made a bottom.
Once the bottom was tested, he says the market was poised to take off.
There's a lot of money on the sidelines, and when the market managed to hold the absolute lows of the year, we saw buying coming in, and people began putting money to work again.
He thinks the Dow will trade between 8,000 and 10,000 for the rest of the year. The price of crude oil rose to $58 a barrel today, but analysts say it's just a bump on the road to lower prices. A mixed blessing, as CBS News correspondent Mark Strassman reports.
In places like Atlanta, gas costs under $2 a gallon again, less than half its price in July.
Well, I'm happy about it. I'm ecstatic. I just hope they keep going down.
But low gas prices are also bad news. And the lower prices go, the worse the news gets.
This is just a reflection of the poor state of the economy, and the oil market is reflecting this global slowdown.
In other words, OPEC charges what it can get. Not much in this bad economy, with unemployment at a 14-year high and consumer confidence at a record low. Even with today's gas prices, road travel still down 5% from a year ago.
The Pennsylvania Turnpike Commission is cutting its workforce due to a decline in traffic volume. John McCain returned to the campaign trail today, asking Georgia voters to support Republican Senator Saxby Chambliss in next month's runoff.
So I'm asking you to go into battle one more time, just one more time here, and we won't call on you for at least a month.
Chambliss fell short of a majority on Election Day. This is CBS News.
How to turn $30 into $180 without a magic wand. Step 1. Go to the Home Depot and spend about $30 on an Energy Star programmable thermostat. Step 2. Install your new programmable thermostat and save an average of $180 a year on your energy bills. Step 3. Say abracadabra.
To help you save even more, we've lowered prices on over 1,000 items throughout the store. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
I'm Jim. Starting a construction business in this economy, you need every advantage you can get. That's why my accountant recommended Intuit QuickBooks. He said it's small business software that'll help me track every penny. Money in, money out, so I always know what's going on. So I tried it, and turns out he hit the nail right on the head. I can see all my money in one place. That's good, because I'm building more than houses. I'm building my business.
Intuit QuickBooks. Get back to business. Try it for free at QuickBooks.com.
Health experts at the Centers for Disease Control are happy fewer Americans are hooked on nicotine. Reporter Sabrina Gibbons has details.
Not as many adults here in the U.S. are smoking, and the CDC's Matthew McKenna says for the first time, the prevalence of smoking is now below 20%.
The biggest decline, sort of the most remarkable thing, is amongst African Americans. They had very substantial declines, particularly African American women.
He says while fewer Americans are smoking, it's still a costly habit.
Over 443,000 deaths a year attributable to smoking, and it costs the United States $193 billion.
Sabrina Gibbons for CBS News, Atlanta.
At a tree farm in western New Jersey today, a crew cut down a 72-foot Norway spruce that was destined to be the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree. Owner Bill Varaniak calls it the miracle tree. His parents planted it after using it for their first Christmas in 1931. Varaniak says his mother always said it would be in Rockefeller Center one day. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
How to pump up the festive without pumping up the energy bill. Step 1. Go to the Home Depot. Get some energy-efficient LED Christmas lights and decorations that use up to 90% less energy. Step 2. Decorate, making your home ultra-festive. Step 3. Bask in the glow of a lower energy bill.
The Home Depot has all the decorations you need to get your home ready for the holidays at guaranteed low prices that are now even lower. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
When it comes to restaurants, some search engines get you lost in all the links, but not Yahoo Search. To prove it, we switched Bob's Google page with Yahoo and brought mariachis into his office.
What the?
Now Yahoo Search brings you even more info from sites you trust, like City Search and Sagat.
Try searching a restaurant on your city.
Whoa, those results have photos, ratings, phone numbers?
Even says live music.
Switch to Yahoo Search and get straight to your answers. Start now at Yahoo.com.
Yahoo!
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime, toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Free Speech Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show. Your calls and comments are welcome, and we pay for the call. Toll free, it's 888-5-PETER-B. And we do accept calls from people using those damn Bluetooth gizmos, because it's the law in California. My number is 888-573-8372, 888-5-PETER-B.
Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends?
this hour, we're going to get a brief report on yesterday's Supreme Court ruling. It surprised me with its swiftness and its stupidity. Chief Justice Roberts ruling for the majority that whales don't have any rights, and the U.S. Navy does. We'll talk with Zach Smith from the Natural Resources Defense Council coming up later this hour. And somewhere along the way, we're going to hear the wacky newsman R.J. Schulman check in, too. He always delights and surprises us with his reportage. And in the meantime, you can call me toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Got a couple of things to mention to you before we go to the phones. And first, I want to thank my radio friends, including you, because we dodged a bullet. The way it works in syndicated radio is I have a contract with the various stations that carry our program. And if the program, for any reason, is not going to continue, I have to notify the stations in advance. And because I hit a financial crunch about 6 weeks ago, I gave provisional notice to the stations that we might have to discontinue the program effective in mid-November. And just as we hit the real trigger point, where I had to make the do-or-die call, I got some help. And at some point I'll be able to give you the details on it. It's not like secret or murky, and it didn't come from Muammar Gaddafi. But we're waiting for a contract to be signed that is expected to expand our coverage substantially. And it would mean that we would add an affiliate in the eastern United States. It's a very powerful station, and we're waiting for the ink to be placed on the contract so that I can announce it to you. It could come as soon as tomorrow. But given that, we're now able to project that we can keep the show on the air into 2009. We still need financial support. We still need to stabilize the operation. And we're working on that with sponsors, underwriters, and also we're planning coverage of the Obama inauguration in January. And we hope to attract sponsors to that that can help us keep the program financed and on the air. So I wanted to give you that update because it's really touched me. The way people have reached out from all over the world, literally, but different corners of the United States, well beyond our broadcast coverage area. And if you go to my website, peterbcollins.com, there's a tab right there at the top of the homepage called You Can Help. And there's more information there on how people have helped. And I'm grateful to each and every one of you. And the real risk, the crisis has passed. But I want to be clear that we continue to struggle financially to keep all this going. And I will do everything I can because this is what I love to do. And my connection to you is something that I really value. And I want to maintain that at almost all costs, not the cost of bankruptcy. And these are tough economic times. Everybody's feeling it. And it makes me even more grateful to those who have dug in and passed along a little cash, or in some cases, more than a little. And I thank you for that. PeterBCollins.com is my website. And for those of you who don't have Internet access, you can always write me snail mail at Box 100, Mill Valley, California, zip code 94942. That's Box 100, Mill Valley, 94942. And again, thank you. So as promised, I wanted to share with you a way that we can express our anger and irritation at the way religious groups cross the line in supporting Proposition 8 here in California. And these religious groups include Mormons from Utah. And I don't have the numbers in front of me, but last time I checked, Mormon groups and interests had put almost $20 million into the Yes on 8 coffers. There was additional funding from the Knights of Columbus and groups directly connected to the Roman Catholic Church. And there was substantial funding from individuals and religious groups affiliated with Christian evangelicals, conservative Christians, in California and outside. And I believe that they did cross the line that by preaching in churches, by using church bulletins, by having bishops dictate to priests what they would say from the pulpit, and Father Jeff was dismissed from his parish in Fresno for refusing to deliver the propaganda, I believe they crossed an important line. And in addition to wanting to see the California Supreme Court quickly move to overturn Proposition 8, or at least to quickly put a stay on it while they consider it and then overturn it, I think it's important to battle the issue of separation of church and state. And so my friend Steve Pizzo, who comes on the show occasionally, he's the guy who was the investigative journalist who helped blow open the savings and loan crisis and Charlie Keating's role in it, and John McCain's role in it, in the 1980s. He blogs now at newsforreal.com, and he publishes every day. A lot of good commentary there. You might check it out. Add it to your favorites, newsforreal.com. And his post today includes the IRS form, Form 13909. Never heard of it before. Me too. Tax-exempt organization complaint form. And it's downloadable from the website of the IRS at irs.gov. I'm clicking on the link right now. And it pulls up, let's see, pulls up the forms page. Okay. And now I have to enter that form number that they just gave me here. Here we go. In the advanced search window, we are going to put form 13909. 13909, enter. Let's see what that does. It pulls up the tax-exempt organization complaint referral form in a PDF. And when you click on that, it'll take a minute here, but that's going to open up. And I'm going to fill this out myself. And I'm going to mail one in. And I encourage you to do the same. Because, you know, some new people will be running the Internal Revenue Service starting next year. And I hope they'll take a close look at this. Now, I believe that preachers and pastors do have the right to talk about political issues from the pulpit to their parishioners, to their flocks. But I do not believe that they can use church resources to organize and participate in political campaigns. And that's where I believe they have crossed the line. And so I encourage you to check this out. I'll say okay to that. And it's a simple form here where you fill out the name of the referred organization. If you can get it, their employer ID number, the nature of the violation, their check-off boxes, details of the violation, information on the submitter. And then you can either email it to an IRS address or mail it to a street address in Dallas, Texas. So that's something I encourage you to take action on. Check it out, irs.gov, and that, again, is form 13909. Into the Free Speech Zone now, 888-5, Peter B., and Terry is on the line, Colonel Terry from Santa Cruz.
Thank you for this excellent suggestion regarding form 13904.
Nine zero niner. Yeah.
Okay. 13909.
Right.
Now I've got it correctly. I am going to report two churches in Santa Cruz that more than crossed the line, one of which is a Catholic, and I'm happy to do so as a enlightened Catholic, okay, who's grateful I outgrew the church, but that I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings out there in Radio Land.
Yeah.
At any rate, just atrocious. What the bishop in Monterey did.
Mm-hmm.
And another is an evangelical nut crowd, from my perspective, who basically draw people in to contribute money out of fear. And I wish I knew a Mormon church locally. Nonetheless, yes, this has got to be done. We've got to get the Bush-Cheney-Rove corruption of our government regarding religion and the extraordinary danger presented by Bush saying he would never be out-Christianed again.
Yeah.
I wanted to also, anyway, I applaud it highly, and I am personally going to send in two forms for two locations that I mentioned upon your prompting.
Great, and I want people in Eureka Arcata to file a document like this on, I think it's the Trinity Church up there. We talked about it before the election, and the pastor's name is John McCain, and they're the ones who had the Yes on 8 banner up on the church property, and that property served as a polling place on election day. I don't know if they removed the banner beforehand. I hope they did.
Okay, am I allowed to suggest people attend a particular movie that is very much on point?
Sure.
Religious. If you haven't seen it, I urge you to. It is well worth patronizing. Another one, of course, is W, which is well worth the $9 or $12, too.
Yeah, I'm overdue on both of them.
Oh, go see both by all means. And if I may, my last comment is lots of people of goodwill who are intelligent about the environment, economic justice, and political wisdom will be attending and sponsoring. I have no financial interest in this, but I'm going to the Green Festival in San Francisco. Again, it's greenfestival.com to find out the particulars, and it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're there, Peter, I'll buy you lunch.
I'll be there on Saturday.
Well, good. You're easy to spot, I know, from your dome. Okay?
Saturday afternoon, sometime after 1 o'clock, I'll be
wonderful.
There.
Wonderful. Look forward to it. Thank you, and again, the Green Festival.
Right.
Take care of yourself.
Okay, it's greenfestivals.org if you want the information. We'll take a break and return more of your phone calls. Up next, it's the Free Speech Zone, and I've got a line for you at 888-5 Peter B. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way in the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Hello, I'm Solazar.
Hi, I'm Kirilani.
Join us Saturday
from 7 to 9 p.m.
for Good Vibrations Tools for Transformation.
Together, we'll transform your relationships,
communication,
health,
and the ability to reach your goals and dreams.
Good Vibrations.
Saturday, 7 to 9 p.m.
on AM 540 KRXA.
KRXA is the radio home of Central Coast Sports. Hi, this is Rob Ponce. Join John Berlin and me each weekend as we bring you the play-by-play of the high school football game of the week.
This week's game of the week is between the Monterey Toreadors and Seaside Spartans. Kickoff 7 p.m. following the 5 p.m. tip-off of the CSUMB Otters from Pepperdine University of Malibu. Both here on KRXA 540.
K Good evening, everyone. This is Fia with your KRXA 540 AM traffic report. We've got a lot going on tonight, so keep your seatbelts buckled. It's going to be a bumpy ride. Okay, right now on Paradise Road at Route 12, there are a couple of skateboarders in the lanes. Vehicles are swerving to avoid them, so be very careful there. Next, on Prunedale North Road at Route 12, there is a broken fire hydrant. CHP is on the way. We've got a bunch of stuff going on in Santa Cruz on Highway 17 at East Santa Clara County Line. We've got a traffic hazard. Two vehicles are on the right shoulder, and CHP is on the scene. There is a moving roadway hazard on northbound Highway 1 at Airport Boulevard. That's all the info we have there. Now, taking a look at Freedom Boulevard at Hames Road, a ladder is in the northbound lane, so be very careful there. That's traffic on AM 540. Have a great afternoon. The Peter B. Collins Show will be right back.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. A shout out to our late night listeners on Green 960 in San Francisco, where, well, it's not quite 2 a.m. It's after 2 a.m. Why don't you get some sleep, for God's sake, huh?
It's 2 a.m. It's 2 a.m. It's 2 a.m. The dark is so long.
Lines are open for you in the free speed zone at 888-5-PETER-B,
888-573-8372. Trash.com.
Every week about this time, we like to pause and get the news that never makes it into the corporate media. R.J. Schulman is the intrepid journalist who's been fired from more than a dozen major daily newspapers, and now he's relegated to publishing on the internets. At the Post-Times-Sun-Dispatch on the web, PTSD, the number one, .blogspot.com. R.J., I understand that you and others are kind of disappointed that Barack Obama's been elected president. It puts a dent in the political satire game.
Yeah, I don't know if it's, if I'm disappointed, but there are some satirists who are kind of disappointed. Basically, simply put, as Andy Borowitz says, Barack Obama is not funny. He's the least funny leader since Jesus Christ.
Holy cow.
And so there's just not going to be much that they can do, and this is going to affect Letterman, it's going to affect Jay Leno's show, it's going to affect comedy clubs all across America. There's a real crisis out there right now.
Mm-hmm. You have a quote here from one of David Letterman's staff writers. We have nothing to write, nowhere to go. Obama not only knows how many houses he owns and that Yugoslavia is no longer a country, but he won't be saying anytime soon that he's the decider who wants to put food on your family.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, this is a late flash that we just learned exclusively here at PTSD, Post-Time Sun-Dispatch, that the National political satirists have voted George W. Bush the best president ever.
Well, that's the only place he's going to get that kind of recognition.
You're absolutely right, Peter B. That is the only place, but they are weeping tears at his departure. This is terrible for them. They were lobbying Obama to not spread the wealth, but to spread the humor, but they have failed in their attempt.
Now, what about The Daily Show and Jon Stewart? He always finds humor in almost anything.
Nothing actually panic as well with it. As a matter of fact, they think that there's some conspiracy over the Comedy Network to destroy their ratings.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about that great comedian Bill O'Reilly? He finds wacky stuff where nobody else even chooses to look.
Yeah, Bill O'Reilly is the one that seems to think that that there's no problem here. He basically says that even though he kind of failed in his attempt to say that Obama had a funny name. Matter of fact, Bill O'Reilly says that went over like a white hood at an NAACP convention. But he says that the funny thing about Barack Obama are his initials, B.O. as in body odor, and he's excited about that, Bill O'Reilly.
Let me just think. Aren't Bill O'Reilly's initials B and O?
Yeah, but that hasn't stopped Bill O'Reilly from making a fool of himself in the past. This won't stop him as well. He says, what more I would put himself in the public eye with the initials people.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose he's...
Now, RJ, you have a story up, too, that John McCain has resumed his campaign. Did anybody tell him that it's O-V-E-R?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I mean, the news media, the corporate media, did not report that when he suspended it after the financial crisis hit, he never reinstated it officially. And so now he's doing that. But it's really upset that the people around him say it's over, because he's just, as he says here, I have begun to fight. And so he's out on the campaign trail in Georgia today. He's helping attack Shameless, Gamblers, though, he's running for in Georgia.
Right. RJ, I'm sorry, but your cell phone there is breaking up. Do you think the NSA has intercepted your call and is trying to scramble it for us?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what's happened. As a matter of fact, you can expect a knock on your door very shortly.
Okay. Now, if McCain is back on the campaign, does that mean that he is still running with the hillbilly from Wasilla?
No, actually, she's gone back to Alaska, and he's very, very upset about it.
Yeah, why?
Well, he picked her because he thought that she was not afraid to shoot her weapon, but he says now that he's really upset that she's cut and run and gone back home like a scared rabbit. He's really very upset with her.
Well, I'm delighted to see dissension in the Republican ranks, and we'll just have to promote it as much as we can. R.J. Shulman, thanks for your reporting.
Okay, Peter B. See you next week.
Read all about it at ptsd1.blogspot.com. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Go ahead. Take a deep breath. Yep, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system. Your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
I'm Glenn Sadowski from Optimal Health Acupuncture in Monterey. Did you know that over one-third of all Americans have tried alternative medicine for relief from chronic pain, depression, asthma, and many other disorders? That acupuncture is safe and effective and has been in use for thousands of years? Or that traditional Chinese medicine treats not only your symptoms, but the actual root causes of disease? At Optimal Health, we offer acupuncture, lymphatic, deep tissue, and hot stone massage, have a full Chinese herbal pharmacy, and for acupuncture, we accept insurance. Reclaim yourself at Optimal Health at 655-3208, where clients take a proactive role in their well-being, make informed decisions, and create healthier lifestyles. Call Optimal Health Acupuncture today at 655-3208 or on the web at OptimalHealthMonterey.com. Optimal Health, where you'll receive good medicine with great results. Think for yourself at Optimal Health.
It's time for the 9th International Film Festival presented by the local United Nations Association with 14 excellent international documentary films, again at the gorgeous Golden State Theater in Monterey. There will be 4 film sessions, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday evenings, November 13, 14, and 15 at 7 p.m., and Sunday afternoon, November 16 at 2 p.m. Admission is just $5 per day with free entry for full-time students. These outstanding films concern global issues like human rights, the environment, impacts of globalization, and security. From 15 to 90 minutes long, and deal with countries and cultures as diverse as China, India, Bangladesh, New Guinea, Russia, Palestine, Argentina, and the U.S. Feature films include new documentaries, One Water, Stealing America Vote by Vote, The Judge and the General, about Pinochet of Chile, and Fire Under the Snow about human rights in Tibet. That's November 13 to 16 at the Golden State. More at unamontereybay.org.
Looking for a big city dining experience with local ma-and-pa prices and service? Look no further than Jim's American Chinese Restaurant at 8069 San Miguel Canyon Road, Prunedale, just behind Burger King. Stephen Lowe, master chef and co-owner of Jim's American Chinese Restaurant, brings to Prunedale his 35 years of experience in cosmopolitan San Francisco. Stephen serves traditional American and Chinese dishes with subtle, delicious French and Italian influences. Jim's has great meals for $10 to $15. For extraordinary food to die for and prices that won't dent your budget, make it a point to visit Jim's American Chinese Restaurant in Prunedale. Jim's is open Monday through Saturday, 11 to 9, and Sundays, noon to 9. At Jim's, you can dine in or take out, and catering is also available. Call 663-4888. That's 663-4888. To make reservations at Jim's American Chinese Restaurant, call 663-4888.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Well, we're going to save the whales from Navy sonar. We're not going to get any help from the United States Supreme Court. A quickie decision handed down by the court reverses an injunction issued by a California federal court and upheld by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, which blocked the Navy from doing practice sessions with sonar in the areas known to be populated by whales and other marine mammals. We'll talk about it next.
When my grandpa was a boy, he went down to the general store, saw a picture book of a whale shooting its spout and flashing its tail. Then he got a sailor's dream about cruising around on a salty sea, join up with a fishing crew to go out and get a whale or two. Tell me what kind of men are these that sail upon the salty seas, up in the rigging in the afternoon, swabbing the deck with a sharp harpoon.
Country Joe McDonald recorded that song in the mid-1970s. It's called Save the Whales. It's on a CD called Paradise with an Ocean View. And you can get it for 99 cents over at iTunes as well. Zach Smith joins me now from the Natural Resources Defense Council. They brought the suit against the Navy to try to block the sonar testing that was going on, particularly off the coast of Southern California, which is a known area that whales migrate through on an annual basis. Zach, thanks for joining us on the program today.
Thanks for having me.
Now, first of all, I want to put this in some context, because from what I have read, and I have not read the court's decision itself, but the news accounts indicate that what the court actually did was fairly narrow. It actually dismissed the injunction that you had won in the lower court that was upheld by the Ninth Circuit. Is that correct?
That's correct, and actually it's even more narrow than that. The injunction that the district court in California had put in place actually had six common sense protective measures for the marine mammals in the area. And the Navy only challenged two of those measures, and those two measures were overturned. But four of the protections continue today.
Okay. And why don't you just briefly enumerate what are the four that continue?
Right. Well, I just want to back up a little bit and say that there's no debate that the technology that used by the Navy, the sonar technology, is extremely dangerous and can be life-threatening to multitudes of marine mammals. The Navy itself admits such.
Yes, they
studies
do.
For these exact exercises, their own study and their own analysis showed that there would be 170,000 takes of marine mammals during these exercises in Southern California. Now, a take does not necessarily mean death, but it includes serious harassment and disruption of behavior of marine mammals, which could be key to them if it's issues of foraging, mating, and avoiding predators. So it's very serious. And so to answer your question, the two measures that were overturned were a measure of that the sonar would be turned off if a marine mammal approached within 2,000 meters.
Mm-hmm.
And the other measure that was overturned was very technical, something called surface ducting conditions that occur sometimes in the ocean. And it's different layers of water, but what it all boils down to is that sonar can be more powerful during these layers, during these conditions in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And the condition was that during these conditions, the Navy should power down their use of sonar. And the Supreme Court also overturned that measure.
Right. And Chief Justice Roberts wrote the decision for the 5-4 majority. And in it, he addressed that surface ducting. We'll get to that in a moment. But I'm struck by his simple thinking and his condescending attitude as expressed in this quote. Of course, wrote Chief Justice Roberts, military interests do not always trump other considerations, and we have not held that they do. In this case, however, the proper determination of where the public interest lies does not strike us as a close question. Now, do you find that as insulting as I do, Zach?
Well, I definitely find it troubling on many grounds, one of which is that, you know, reasonable justices on the other side, Justice Ginsburg, for example, looked at the same evidence and came up with very different conclusions about the harms to marine mammals. And to kind of discount the proven harms and the harms that the Navy itself admitted as not being particularly significant is turning a blind eye to those concerns. And the suggestion that they're not always deferential to the military, in this instance, basically it was a several declarations from admirals. And the opinion almost reads that you'd have to almost catch them in a lie before a court could disagree with what an admiral does.
Yeah.
So he sets a very high standard that will make it difficult to do this kind of litigation in the future.
And I want to make it very clear that these issues would not be in play in a war setting. If, for example, the Mexican Navy and its huge nuclear submarine fleet decided to launch an assault on San Diego, that'd be a wartime situation, and these concerns and you know, the previous court rulings would not apply. They applied only to the war games, to the testing of these systems, and to the training of personnel in using them. And in my view, these are programs that could be conducted virtually anywhere in the world. Yet, for convenience, and I can understand that, there's a big naval base there in San Diego, for convenience, the Navy, I think, has kind of framed its arguments, and they were found persuasive by the court. But, Zach, to my point there, isn't it true that these maneuvers, these training exercises, could be conducted almost anywhere undersea in the world?
Well, you're absolutely correct. And what is also startling about it is that the Navy, they plan these exercises far in advance. And as you stated, they're just for training, and they have a plan for their training. And in those circumstances, in the Southern California area, for example, they have a training range there that is 120,000 square nautical miles. Now, that's hard to picture, but it's basically the size of New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they conduct their training. And to refuse to set aside 1 square mile of critical habitat within that New Mexico-sized area is incredibly problematic, and that's the kind of reasoning that we've been pushing on the Navy to take greater precautions in planning these exercises and locating them in places where marine mammals are not abundant.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Zach Smith from the Natural Resources Defense Council. There's more information up at their website, and that's nrdc.org, nrdc.org. And, Zach, I promise to return to this issue of surface ducting. And I'm a sailor so and also a scuba diver, so I think I have some understanding of this, that in even out in the deepest ocean, there are layers of water, you know, coming from different places, different currents, cross currents, and that sort of thing. And under certain weather and climate conditions, we see some anomalies, and that's what this surface ducting is. Now, the argument that NRDC made was that the marine mammals are exceptionally more vulnerable during surface ducting conditions than other times, and the demand was to ask the Navy to turn down the power, turn down the volume on the sonar pings that it was transmitting to protect these marine mammals. But Chief Justice Roberts looked at it the other way. He said, given that surface ducting is both rare and unpredictable, it is especially important for the Navy to be able to train under these conditions. Does that make sense?
Well, it doesn't make sense for a lot of reasons. It doesn't make sense because in Southern California, the facts of the matter are that surface ducting just doesn't often occur. And the Navy continually, year after year, can certify and send sailors off after being certified and after the training without having that experience. And if it's really important for the Navy to have that experience, they can go to an area like Hawaii that has surface ducting much more often. So if it's really that important, they would ensure that they do that kind of training in other parts of the world. But and I have to say that the Navy's argument with respect to surface ducting changed over time. And I think they landed on one that they felt that the Supreme Court, or at least a majority, would accept, and that appears to be what happened.
Mm-hmm. So what happens next here, Zach? This went all the way to the Supreme Court, so there's no place to appeal it to. You could try to go to Congress and pass a new law, right?
That would certainly be one option. It's important to remember that this decision, as you noted, is fairly limited.
Mm-hmm.
It is specific to these 14 exercises. Now, there's language in the decision that might make it more difficult for this kind of litigation in the future. But there's also administrative process that we can conduct with the Navy and with the National Marine Fisheries Service to continually urge them to take greater precaution. And if they aren't complying with the law, we will certainly go after them with litigation if necessary to ensure that they do comply.
All right. Well, Zach, thank you and all the attorneys at NRDC for the work you've done on this. I'm disappointed at the resolution there at the Supreme Court.
Well, so are we, but thank you for having me, and we'll continue the struggle.
All right, nrdc.org. Check out more information on this important Supreme Court decision.
Hang high the light of the moon. Put out some Boston in the middle of June. After 6 months out at sea, nothing but death and misery. Set out on a 3-year cruise, a union ship and a union crew. After 6 months, you begin to see whaling's not what it used to be. Modern ship and a modern crew with sonar scopes and exploding harpoons. A mechanical boat made out of steel. A floating machine built to kill the whales. Hooray, up she rises. Hooray, up she rises. Hooray, up she rises. Early and
that's the sound of an actual whale. And he's really pissed at the Navy. Gina in Salinas, you're next in the free speech zone. Thanks for holding on, Gina.
Hey, I had an idea this morning as to why maybe the Congress is not, and the bankers and everybody's not doing anything about saving the people at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a title search, and if somebody doesn't know who owns the property, you don't get a good title search, do you?
Okay.
All these banks are sitting with all this paper, and somehow, if they get the property back, I think there's some way they can probably clean that up, and the next title search will show them as the owner.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because, I mean, that's a big problem for them
Well, let me follow you, Gina, here. If I lose my home to foreclosure,
mm-hmm.
and it reverts to the bank that I borrowed from but that no longer owns my mortgage, they take possession of it, and they would file documents with the county recorder showing that the property had been transferred from me to them, right?
But they're already showing some when they take the mortgage, they're showing at the county.
Well, they have a security position. They have a lien.
Uh-huh. So if it goes back to them, I bet you there's some way they can clean up all that mess and everything keep rolling and nobody will know that there was a problem or something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's some reason they're taking care of the bank, seeing all that money is going up for them to pay off their debts higher up and leave us hanging down here. Okay, so why are they leaving us hanging down here? Because they could get sued for screwing it up, couldn't they?
Oh, see, I thought you were going in another direction, which was to say that these are greedy banks that just want to own as much property as they can.
No, I think they want to get their, they want to save their hides because that's got to be terribly illegal.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't do a clear title, you can't sell property.
Well, I understand the issue you're raising there, but I think the bigger problem is that the banks are sitting here unable to really quantify the depth of their exposure, okay? And we talked earlier today with Jeff Girth about the AIG issues, and that's a specific set of circumstances.
Uh-huh.
But we have this situation where Henry Paulson is willing, he's scrapping Plan A, which was to buy the bad paper. He's now pumping capital into banks and getting shares in return. And, you know, they claim that, oh, gosh, in the end of this, the taxpayers might come out ahead.
Yeah, but
I don't believe that.
If they have to foreclose to solve this problem, then they won't let out the credit, okay? They'll let everybody go right down the tube so they can end up with the property, and that way they can sell it with a clear title somehow or other.
I hear your point, and this is where it is continuing to frustrate me that Paulson is blocking the idea of using his bailout money for Detroit. I have serious questions about bailing out Detroit, to begin with. But they flatly refuse to bail out homeowners.
There's some kind of problem, and I think it has to do with the title.
Well, I understand your point there, and I can't address it any further, Gina. But my issue here is
that
we've got to clear up the problem loans. We will never, stabilize our financial system and get credit and lending back into a fluid kind of mix until we deal with the exposure that we have from subprime and problem mortgages. And so to me, the only sensible approach is what Obama has talked about, which is workouts for homeowners, and we've got to get those bad loans off the books. That is the safest way to get us out of this mess. Gina, I've got to run to a break, but thanks for presenting that issue. And if anybody who knows more than we do wants to comment, I've got lines open right now. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You could have the final word today on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Good evening, this is Thea with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Right now in Santa Cruz, we have a couple of traffic hazards. There's a ladder in the northbound lane of Freedom Boulevard at Hames Road. Also, on Highway 17 at East Santa Clara County Line, two vehicles are on the right-hand shoulder, and CHP is on the scene there. On Soquel Drive at Porter Street, there is a three-vehicle traffic collision with no injuries. Moving on over to Blossom Hill at northbound 101, there is a traffic hazard, and CHP is on the way. In weather tonight, it's going to be a mostly clear and starry night. I hope you all have a great evening. That's traffic and weather on AM 540. Stay with KRXA and the Peter B. Collins Show.
House and protect your investments.
Custom painting,
waiting for a free estimate. Don Dixon Painting, serving Monterey Peninsula and the Dixer Coast. Quality paint jobs and green painting solutions are fast and affordable. Call 667-2144. For a free estimate, call 667-2144. That's 667-2144. I'm Don Dickman. When quality counts, let us protect your investment. You're in good hands.
With Don Dickman Painting.
We're at www.dondickmanpainting.com.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 6 minutes in front of the hour.
I feel so extraordinary. Something's got a hold on me. I get this feeling I'm in motion. A certain sense of liberty.
As we wrap up the Peter B. Collins Show today, a couple of loose ends. Earlier, we had a caller who we didn't have time to get to, and then he or she dropped the call during the break. It was Eric in Monterey, question about Prop 8 and court cases against it. And, Eric, I'm glad you raised the question because I've been trying to spread the word. I spoke earlier this week with constitutional law professor Marjorie Cohn from San Diego's Thomas Jefferson School of Law, and she educated me a little bit about the fine points of a constitutional amendment in California that occurs by initiative, and that's what Proposition 8 is. It is an initiative constitutional amendment. Well, it turns out there are two types of initiative constitutional amendments. One is an amendment itself, and that would be adding a new clause to the Constitution. And the other is a revision. And it appears, and I'm persuaded by Professor Cohn's comments, that Proposition 8 would be a revision and not an amendment. Why? Because the court ruled in June, or was it May, that there is a right in the California Constitution that extends to all people to enjoy the benefits of the contract of marriage, the state contract of marriage. And so Cohn argues, and I find it persuasive, that Proposition 8 is a revision to the Constitution. It's changing just one part of it. Doesn't seem like an amendment to me. Well, the good news here is that a revision not only requires a majority vote of the public, 50% plus one, in the initiative, but it requires a two-thirds approval of both houses of the legislature. That has not occurred and is not likely to occur. So that's the news about that, and we'll be watching carefully as the litigation goes forward. Also, someone emailed me with information that this Saturday, all across the country, there are going to be protests for same-sex marriage, and they're occurring at 10:30 a.m. Pacific time and 1:30 p.m. Eastern time.
You'll have to contact your local activist to find out where the protest might be in your area. But I did want to pass along that information. This Saturday, the 15th of November, there will be a Proposition 8 or same-sex marriage protests at various locations across the country. And if you'd like to participate, go on the web and figure that out, okay? John in Carmel Valley, here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Is anyone really surprised by the Roberts Court and a ruling against the whales when all the Navy is just another extension of the corporate interests, and doesn't surprise me at all. What horrifies me is that they're so ignorant of how messed up the oceans are. It isn't just the whales we need to look out more for. It's our own necks, because if the oceans fail, I can't imagine how we'll be around to have much more left to write history with.
John, what did surprise me was how quickly the court chose to review and rule on this matter. It was only submitted to them a few months ago, and typically they take their time, and a decision like this would come out over the course of the next 6 months, over the spring. So it shows that not only do they have this deference to the Navy and a hostility to the environmental issues that were presented, they were almost gleeful in being able to toss this out on a technicality, basically just reverse the injunction, without ruling on the underlying issues. And that is the expression of contempt that I find so insulting from Chief Justice Roberts' remarks.
Yeah, it's probably agree with Limbaugh.
All right, John, sorry I'm out of time, and Trigger's here to ride me off into the sunset. We'll talk to you again real soon. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Peter B. Collins Show.
Happy trails.
This program's produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill, Nick Tanum on duty today taking your phone calls, and you can share a podcast of any portion of our program with a friend. The link is on my homepage at peterbcollins.com.
Keep smiling.
Are you tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer, and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call My Computer Works now, toll free, 888-629-9618. That's 888-629-9618. 888-629-9618.
My Computer Works. Does yours?
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Bankers got beat up pretty badly today as members of the Senate Banking Committee demanded to know what they've done with the bailout money. CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein reports.
Democrat Sherrod Brown of Ohio said the tens of billions invested in banks isn't being lent out to consumers.
If taxpayers' funds are not going to be used for lending, then we need to give serious thought to whether this effort still makes sense.
But Gregory Palm of Goldman Sachs said the money is not being used improperly.
The firm's bonuses will be paid only out of the firm's earnings, not its capital, and certainly will not increase as the result of having received TARP funds.
But senators pointed out there's no way to be sure that troubled asset relief funds are being put to good use. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
Some stock market analysts say the bottom was tested today, and it held. After falling below 8,000, the Dow reversed course to close at 8,835, a gain of 552 points. Hugh Johnson of Johnson Illington Advisors says a day like today is encouraging, but the market remains volatile.
We're watching very closely Washington, watching to see what indeed is going to be the outcome of the so-called $700 billion bailout package. What are they going to do next? Seeing what's going to be the outcome as far as General Motors.
Democrats in Congress are pushing a $25 billion emergency loan program for U.S. automakers, but Senate Banking Committee Chairman Chris Dodd says he doesn't know of a single Republican who's willing to support it.
Reports are circulating this evening that Senator Hillary Clinton is under consideration to be Barack Obama's Secretary of State. We talked to CBS News Chief Political Consultant Mark Ambinder.
Whether this is more than rumor is to be determined. It's a very interesting rumor, though. Hillary Clinton is certainly an icon of American politics. She's on the Armed Services Committee. She has a reputation for being tough. And she knows many of the world leaders that a chief diplomat, which is what the Secretary of State is, would encounter.
A powerful explosion has leveled a restaurant in Pueblo, Colorado.
Sound like a bomb, actually.
Marty Clay owns a flower shop half a block away.
Lumber and timber flying and, you know, shooting across the street and people running out from all the businesses to look to see what's going on.
Authorities say one person was killed, five injured. The cause of the blast is under investigation. Millions in Southern California.